To be the best, you need the best. Enter the Predator Helios 300, a gaming laptop that takes power to an all-new level. Equipped with the 7th-gen Intel Core processor and Aeroblade 3D fan, discover the VR-ready Predator Helios 300 today. Go to Acer.com, click on Store, and enter coupon code FRIENDCAST at checkout to receive 10% off your Predator Helios 300 gaming laptop plus free ground shipping. Offer valid from July 3rd, 2018 through September 25th, 2018 to 11:59 p.m. CDT. Cannot be combined with other order level or coupon offer. There we go.
Okay.
There we go. We're good.
Are we?
We're good.
I'll wait for people to tell you when we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
We're good now.
We're very good.
We're good until people tell us we're not good.
Are we not good?
Just all the time.
I'm confirming
the
good.
The feeling of being good is...
Being potentially good.
Is leading me to the sensation of vomiting.
Hi, hey.
Hey, what hey. Up?
How you guys doing?
I stole Matt's weapons and everybody's mad.
we're like jumping, like everything's crazy, like back in yesterday and then off again tomorrow, quite literally, because Evo and stuff is coming up. So this is going to be a shorter than usual podcast, so we should just roll through it.
Yeah, but just because the pleasure lasts a little bit less doesn't mean it's any less pleasurable. Remember that.
Well,
that's... Caught in my chair.
No.
That's not what she said.
That is what she told me.
But I don't think you should believe her.
All I'm saying is that you can have a good time.
You can.
Regardless.
The motion of the ocean is better when the duration of the cruise is also an extended period
sometimes
of time.
Sometimes it lasts too long. You're like, I'm fucking bored of this.
But sometimes time extended.
Time extended. Or checkpoint.
Checkpoint!
I wish you could resume from where you left off.
And then you're like, oh man, like it, too much effort. Let's just resume. Yeah, save points.
That's good.
Save states? Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Load state. It's not bad.
Not bad. Decent. But the point is that we're going to actually, summer, the deal with it, and the same thing with the fact that like we've recorded on, on the Tuesday.
On the Tuesday,
we recorded on the Tuesday for the last couple.
You know what sucks? That not cool news came out on the Tuesday.
The Monday news was actually pretty boring.
Yeah.
And I added a bunch to the docket just between yesterday and today.
Mm.
But like the other thing too is that like yeah because so to go to peel back the curtain a little bit. Things with like where we scheduled.
Is it pull or peel back the curtain? Because peel back implies there's dampness in the theater.
Did I say peel?
Yes, you did.
Oh, well.
Not that it's any worse.
Well, you know, you can peel a curtain. You can pull a curtain. But it's probably pull. It's
a damn theater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's stuck to the actors.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so the rigidity of like, you know, but the early podcast episodes, I'd say, were much, much, much more locked in to like the time frame that they, you know, had to be recorded in. And now it's a little bit more okay.
Yeah, 2014 was fucked up.
I don't even remember that time.
Yeah,
yeah, but
what
that
came, what happened 2014? I don't remember.
Yeah, but that being said, we know that like a break in a schedule or a break in an unexpected thing equals like just less people showing up because they're like, oh, the thing's not here. That's it.
Oh, no.
You know, the routine is broken. But either way, yeah, like summers are like just crazy every year and, you know, there's always tons going on and weekends especially get really rough. So, you know, sometimes things get bumped around a little bit, but ultimately like...
So like we instantly have to record more Detroit after this.
Exactly.
What you're getting to.
I'm getting
sir.
To the point that exactly immediately after this, we're going to go sit down and
how much longer is left in the second gig? Are we like almost done?
I feel like we're two sit downs.
Yeah, two. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
depends now with gun,
yeah, it depends how many
it can go a lot faster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to say that because
shoot them all.
More than two folks were like, just move it to Tuesday. And it's like,
But that doesn't solve the problem at all.
It's not even that. It's like there's been 250 normal Mondays. Yeah, it's just a hectic summer.
Also, if it was going to slide from Monday to Tuesday, whatever plan was done for that would probably cause it to slide.
People are also taking into account the news that gets broken on the late Mondays, early Tuesdays.
It's an impulsive thought based on hindsight being about 2 weeks. It just feels like it's fine.
Podcast at night.
Beetle memory is what I like to call it.
But also it's like networks used to like, oh, this doesn't work in this time slot. Why do we move it? Not that to say that Mondays don't work, but it's like maybe there's millions more people listening to podcasts on Tuesdays. I don't know.
That
would be bad. Don't move it to Tuesday.
The official release being Tuesday is for a reason. None of this was random and happenstance.
We decided to record it on Monday.
It was all planned.
Also, lots of people love Mondays, so they love to listen on
Mondays. So you know what? I love Mondays. I wake up and I go, work. Mondays.
But it's still officially Tuesday, so everyone in on Monday is getting in early, getting in good. Thing we need to get onto is our weeks and then like the docket, because a couple things like got thrown on there. So
okay. All right, I will jump ahead. I only did two things with my week. I got frustrated with what's that?
It's nothing.
What?
No, it's just the way you're saying it.
Yeah, I sat there and I did one thing and then I did the other thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
I've been playing a lot of the Gungeon update.
Yeah.
Gungeons and Dragons.
So good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
What are you playing it on?
I play it on PC.
Okay.
With a controller because I'm a pleb like that. It's just more stuff. It's that kind of game, just like the Isaac update model. Just throw 100 more guns. Just throw 300 new synergies or whatever. I finally managed to build the bullet that can kill the pass, but now I can't get back down to kill the dragon with it.
That's the advanced dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, the dragon was always the final boss, or the pre-final boss.
So close to
I didn't know that.
So
the rapper should have had a fucking
dragon.
The game has
a fucking absolutely crazy like progression that I didn't expect, where there's the final boss, which is the dragon. And then when you kill the past, every character has their own super boss to beat to finish their story. And then once you do that with all of them, you go to the final level, which is Bullet Hell, and fight the Lich, which is the end. And I'm not even close. Oh man, that game is awesome. It's just great.
It is. And the first thing I noticed when I played it at PAX
years ago,
was how fun it felt to roll.
Yeah.
Well, the company is called Dodge Roll.
Yes.
So
it was.
That's like a company called Table Hopper, and they make like an action game.
It's the first thing I noticed, and it immediately cemented how good it felt as a twin stick.
Putting a bunch of time into it, I have come to the conclusion that Gungeon is the most referential game I've ever seen, ever.
Hmm.
Every single thing is some kind of movie or game reference, including everything Devolver's ever put out.
Yeah, that's true.
The gun called the Devolver, etc. All the way down.
They love their publisher.
All the way down to the final boss of...
Is it Fork Parker?
I don't know who that is.
The CEO of Devolver?
No.
Who's like everywhere?
But the final boss of the robot, the character that you can unlock, is the last human. And it's Sarah Connor in the Mexico outfit.
Nice.
Ripped. Cool. That summons T-100s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so fucking blatant all the time. It's awesome.
And there's a certain nobility in that when someone really
rip it the fuck off.
God Hand Orange.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Even says awesome when
you're not Alexander.
What else do I want to say? The thing that I feel, and I've been saying this a bunch on Twitter and when I streamed it, is that the difference between this game and Isaac to me is that Isaac's first level and sometimes second level are awful. Whereas Gungeon's first level is fun. Because Isaac's first level, the shooting is like four directional and it's god awful. And with no upgrades, everything is super slow and you move really slowly. Whereas Gungeon feels good to roll and move and shoot from the very start.
Even if your gun's not amazing, it's still like, useful.
Yeah, no, comparing the two, Gungeon is way tighter. And you never feel like you're slide floating in a nebulous place on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about Isaac is that, like, as fun as Isaac is, there's definitely a level of accuracy that you don't have with your character. You don't feel like a magic pixel in any
no,
way.
No, you're
You
fat.
Know what I mean? And again, the way you take a couple steps, you kind of sometimes overstep, you know, you're sure if you want to stand on the edge of something. Gungeon, you feel a lot of precision with every movement. Isaac is a lot looser in that way.
Well, Isaac's still carrying around all that shit that, like, was this game made in Flash?
It wasn't made in Flash, yeah.
And it's like, Isaac, at some point it was, but not this version.
Yeah.
Yeah, but its trappings remain.
Yeah, Gungeon's the shit. Anybody who's interested in that kind of roguelike should check out Gungeon, particularly if they liked Isaac. And apparently, the last Isaac expansion, like, fucked that game up.
Afterbirth Plus?
Yeah, Afterbirth Plus specifically. I was talking to a friend of mine who put, like, 1,000 hours into it, and that it added a bunch of shit that, like, dilutes the pool and fucks up synergies
well,
and stuff like
that. That sentiment was not out there when when I took a look at it when that came out. Last I heard, everyone was really hyped about it. So, like, I guess the dust has settled. And
yeah, maybe.
We even did a video on
Gungeon
2 years ago.
But, like, I guess the SM Isaac heads have...
I'm sure the Gungeon second gig now.
No.
Yeah. Like, are you done? I'm done.
I'm playing it at home all the time, and I might stream it, but, like, yeah. And, if I was to go in now, I'd want to be able to beat it on a go, but that shit has... What gun you get is... highly variable to the quality of your run.
No, I meant the gigs.
Oh no, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Like the moment that's a dead horse. That's like the moment the first bat touched it. It just exploded into dust powder.
No, it's like that. No,
and now we're inhaling.
That dead horse's ghost comes up, and you have a ghost bat.
and now you
beat that spirit down.
I feel like we're snorting in the dead horse powder.
No, the only
it's all airborne now. No, everyone sniffed it up.
You created the second gig, and you have to live with that forever. But
I do.
But I would like to actually change that name on certain things. Like if it's a fighting game, we could call it Second Impact or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it ever is called for, like the obvious go-to is Third Strike for anything.
Yeah, Third Strike, Second
Impact.
It'd
be Third Strike, Fourth Strike.
Yeah.
Because that would be four times I think we might have played it by then.
Fourth Fight, whatever.
Or, no.
The fourth one would have to be The Thing. title.
Wasn't Third Strike, but like rumored to have like a fourth strike like 5E3s ago?
By hyperactive children that wanted to lie so that their friends would think they were cool.
Oh,
that would be me.
The uncles at Nintendo guys. Those guys.
They would know about
those people.
Street Fighter 3.
The other thing.
And the one time that was real, that kid fucking got his uncle fired.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The other thing that I put a little bit of time into just yesterday, I forget the particular board game. It's about fighting Cthulhu, but that's not important. That game's fun. It's cool. But I finally bit the bullet and decided to fuck around with Tabletop Simulator, which I don't have much to say other than that is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen on Steam.
What'd you play with it?
What's the name of the game? You play as a bunch of investigators fighting the Elder Gods.
Okay.
There's
like
a Doom counter
game.
At the top.
Yep.
So somebody will remember the name. Elder God Battle Royale. I don't know.
Okay.
But play that for about 4 or 5 hours.
It works.
And it is... It totally solves that problem. It's amazing. And then going down the Steam Workshop and just seeing people have made every single fucking board game ever to exist.
And you can
attack.
And you can import pieces from other things, including custom pieces, into whatever you want to play. So nothing can stop me from being Virgil.
It's
so when you have a hankering to play Mousetrap, just load it up.
It's probably in there.
I mean, there are physics, you know, like it's really well done.
And I remember... Okay, this is going to sound really stupid, so get ready, everyone. This is going to sound really stupid.
I don't need to be ready.
So you know how on Wooly Versus, there's a Kingdom Death Monsters video series in which Wooly played Kingdom Death Monsters with, what was it, Moth and some other
Moth,
people?
Brennan,
and the Sultan of Sith.
Right?
Yeah, and Fisto.
I remember thinking, boy... It's got to be really annoying for Wooly to record this and just, like, move everyone's pieces where they tell him to move it via camera feed.
Hmm.
I thought you were recording.
You didn't understand what was happening.
And then they were telling you over Discord, no, move my piece here or whatever. Mm. Now that I'm going to assume you use Tabletop Simulator.
I'm going to assume you didn't click on it once.
No, why would I click on the things of the people I see every day?
Yeah, fair enough.
That's silly.
Yeah, that's fair.
What's the last stream of mine you watched?
I tune into some random
Bullshit.
That's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
I didn't even finish.
You came over to our house, you didn't know there was a skeleton.
I didn't even finish. I tune into the random clips that people post of things from time to time.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Okay. I clicked on... I didn't. Though. Anyway, I clicked on that shit post you made with the Naruto run. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing on your channel. So bad looking. And that's it. Fucking table flipper. Does that flip the table?
Literally.
Oh, that's cool.
You didn't try it, eh? You didn't risk it?
No, because we're playing a game for 4 hours, and yeah. I'm looking at it like... Mm.
You can save a state.
Okay.
And then flip it. If you want to be an asshole.
Save a state.
Oh, man.
But yeah,
That's great for the Yu-Gi-Oh! People.
It is. Yeah, and I'm thinking of some other stuff in regards to that. But yes, man, Tabletop Simulator is quite well thought out. People have been using it for a while now. Yeah, it did.
Absolutely needed it.
In this world of online. And you're looking at it at like a version of it multiple iterations into the future from the original. So like,
the original was a little janky.
They've worked out a lot of the kinks and it's come a long way.
So probably I look at it and it's like an open platform now because of the Steam Workshop shit. And it's like there's nothing to do to shut down like this pirated digital board game. No. Say like if it's not officially supported.
Yeah.
Or like, okay, they pulled it down off the Steam Workshop, but I'm pretty sure you could just grab those files and host it on the Nexus.
Is why it was like, you know, there's a little bit of like tongue in cheek to it, but it's like it was really cool that the official Kingdom Death thing even shouted us out because it's like, yay, you're telling people about this game, but this is not the actual live version of it. Due to logistical purposes, we couldn't use it, you know? But so it's very much like, but
if you have the ability to get everybody in a room,
yeah,
you're going to want the pieces because the pieces are nice and all that stuff.
And Moth was demoing some of the stuff you can do with that, where like some people had board games that were like boards loaded up that were just like maps from video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like full environments, an island with trees and things. Like, you can have elaborate, crazy, video gamey only board games in there, and like moving animated pieces.
Probably,
you know,
there's a shocking amount of video game board games released in the 90s. Like, there's a Street Fighter 2 board game that's insane, in that you have to move around to get to the Shadow Loop.
Right? Yeah, yes,
have RPG style battles of rolling the dice and like.
But well, what I actually mean is like a board game that could only take place if it's not real.
You know?
Jumanji. If you would.
Zathura.
Probably the biggest deal for me is that when we set it up, like, I'll pick your investigator. Arkham Horror, I think it was called.
Arkham, yeah, that's...
And you put your investigator card on it, and there's a little button that says setup, and you hit it, and all the right cards and bonuses just fly out of fucking space and settle on your character, and they're set up. It's like, oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once we know how to play this game, just boop, 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 boop.
Because when you're a kid or a gawky teenager and you bring out the board game, you'd find out who your real friends are, where if you turn around and you've opened up the board game, whoever remains in the room is a friend. And whoever's like, my mom's calling,
because
they see all your bullshit on the ground.
The other, then, not to mention things like deck organization, stacks of things, rolling dice. You can do it the fun way, or you can just do it like the I'm lazy right now, and it just tosses it up and down on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's all little things that are just like, for ease of use. You don't want too much effort put into this, and you can just like move the camera anywhere. And the one of the coolest things I saw was a VR update where you straight up can just sit at the table in VR
and just cheat.
Well, it's not cheating. It's just you're
Well, but you can just move forward and clip and see everybody's cards. Cheat big time.
No, you can't.
Oh. Because the cards are literally, you don't see anything on them. You can move the camera anywhere at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing a game where other people have cards, like, and you flip them, you're not going to see them because the game's like, you can't.
That's disappointing. Okay.
That's smart.
Yeah.
No what StarCraft a, 64 multiplayer
what
there.
What a
no.
cool thing. What a cool little physics engine that somebody turned into. Everything,
yeah,
it feels like,
and without downloading custom maps and boards for it, there's still all a full thing of all the games you grew up recognizing, You know, like your fucking tic-tac-toes and snakes and ladders and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all there.
You know what else is really impressive about it? Is that the host was like, so, oh, we'll play Arkham Horror. My friend downloads the fucking workshop mod or whatever on his, makes the map, and then we all just load in. We don't have to have it. It just loads in like a fucking custom map from Counter-Strike.
Yep.
Takes like 2 minutes.
And then all you do is right-click on like custom things and just save them to your local thing. And now you have it too.
That thing is awesome.
Yes, it is. I will be using it again in the future.
Play some Cutthroat Monopoly.
I mean, is there any other type?
Well, I mean, you could lose fingers, or you could not.
Monopoly.
There is one other type. High scheme, grand cinematic fucking Monopoly as the McDonald's movie unplays. Holy shit! At that story, I'll get into a little bit later. That's you.
That's me.
Okay, I'll tag in because board games is a connecting baton. I'll grab tissue. And say
connecting tissue is grosser.
Well, we need it though.
Yeah, but it's a little grosser than baton.
And you slice it, and then your limbs just kind of fall.
What's up with you? You want to peel back the dank curtain from the connective tissue?
Feeling very edgy today.
Oh man,
very edge. The board games. There was for me. A great board game I played this week, and that was at Con Bravo.
Mm.
So I headed out, like I said, in unofficial capacity, hung out with friends. It was a good time. We notable mentions to catching Little V Mills live on stage, fucking rocking Devil Trigger.
Nice.
Was awesome.
Hey, Capcom, allow him to monetize that song again,
how
please.
How about it?
Is that Capcom or is that the band?
The automatic. It might be a robot.
Like, even though he went through the official channels to get it monetized, it just has demonetized. And can't
vividly remember like us going through official shit with Capcom and then getting content IDs. And
this is actually way different because Capcom is supposed to let you do this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I started a mosh pit temporarily.
Oh yeah.
Started a small
Eight
mosh pit.
Seconds.
Yeah, it was a tiny little
did
mosh
you just,
pit it went.
Did you just double lariat in a crowd and then say it's a mosh pit?
No, I did a bunch of Urian tackles left and right and it was fun. Magma jumped
blacklisted
in.
Forever now.
Also into the fucking Rashido as seen on Evo's grand finals last year cover as well. It was a really fun little concert. And The performer who went up before him was playing a cover of the K.I. Jago theme live.
Oh,
and that was fun because doing the lyrics to Jago.
All the nonsense you know? That you don't
and no one
what
and like
is.
No one knew them, but they were popping up on the screen next to you, so it's like, nah, you can know them.
Literally coming over here, listening to Omen's theme version of it. It's the same lyrics, just more Cookie Monster.
Provided for your karaoke needs right there on screen.
Fuck.
So that was a fun part of Bravo. Also, shout outs to Magma for so he gave you that art print of Cody. He got me a limited edition Blanka Chan.
You can now shit post to your heart's content.
There are only 1,000 of these.
The toy is worse. Yoshinori. Toy is way worse.
Yeah, but so, you can shit post with
you
that.
Can.
It's still Blanka.
But it's not as powerful.
The story mode for Blanka in Street Fighter V has him making these little toys of himself, and that troll costume you see is based on a thing that they made a limited edition of. There's 1,000 of these in the world, so
it's
I'm super happy.
It's probably the best thing Blanka's had in years.
Absolutely.
Is just that storyline.
100%.
So much better than Street Fighter
IV. That is my favorite thing about Blanka ever, is the thing that you were just holding
it's
in
the
your hand.
It is the best thing about him. Yes.
Because it's what if Blanka invented Domokun?
You know, like Guile wore his Air Force uniform and got some shades. That's dope. Ryu got a beard. Blanka became Blanka-chan.
Yeah.
And even then, though, beard and sunglasses thing is not really a story beat.
Yeah. Like, this well, the second best thing about him is hanging out with Charlie.
Is his raison d'etre.
Hanging out with Sakura and Dan as an odd couple.
Yeah.
Trio. That was
Blanka, you know, figured out how to turn his hideous deformity and awful appearance into money.
That's Three's Company right there.
There you go.
And Sakura and Blanka.
So yeah, thanks for that. And we did a little big band labbing back there. That was a fun time. But we played a board game called Loopy Lore, and I want to talk about it because it's a really fun thing. a cool fan of ours came by and we talked to, I think, like the last Con Bravo about this game he was working on. And I passed you along that bag. So what this is it's a really fun card game where basically you are putting out you have a bunch of cards. Some of them are locations. Some of them are so there's what is there? There's like settings. I want to say there's actions and characters sometimes, or like descriptions of specific items and things like that. Mm. And you lay these all out. And what you do is in a group, you have a timer, and basically you pick one card that is a genre and one card that is a another aspect of the story, like a genre, and then like you can have like musical sci-fi, for example, or something like that.
Okay.
And then the first person starts telling a story about that thing, mm-hmm. right? And you, while the timer's flipped, you have 60 seconds to go through and keep talking about whatever you're setting up here. And what you do is essentially the cards that you have are ordered in chapters,
mm-hmm.
and
so this is like the horror chapter. This is the
no. If horror is the genre,
okay,
right? Then chapter one is just the beginning of the story.
Okay.
So the beginning of the story, you flip it over, and whatever you get, the first card you flip over, it says raincoat.
All right.
So you're like, all right, I know this is a musical sci-fi. Let's start with a child with their raincoat skipping through the rain, and then a spaceship comes down, mm-hmm. right? And then you keep talking, right? And then after 60 seconds, the next player has to tag right in,
oh, man.
Flip it over, and flip the card, and then basically continue the story from there with that prompt,
okay.
you know? So you kind of are working towards an end goal of, like, getting to an ending that you all established beforehand,
right?
Right? So it's a kind of like a cooperative thing. However, in addition to just working through the rounds...
How many people can play?
Up to 8.
Jesus.
And in addition to working through the rounds, you are holding 4 cards that are effectively plot twists, aka combo breakers.
Oh, so in the middle of you
in the middle of you saying anything, I fucking slap that timer down and I put a new thing on, and it's like, oh, fucking whatever plot twist that you have to keep talking.
The kid's a ghost.
And now work that in to whatever the fuck you were about to say.
Suddenly Sonic didn't ejaculate. He in fact threw 9,999 screaming ghosts out of his dick, and now you have to deal with them.
There's a version of the game that supports literally what you just said, because you introduce pre-existing characters into a fan fiction setting.
Fucking so stupid.
And so you combo break people's stories as you go through it, and then you can throw them off and whatnot, right? Mm. So yeah, it's a ton of fun. It's pretty much exactly that. And then different genres determine how the board is laid out, to the point where if you want to just do a traditional like film, you have like, you can have 4 acts, you know, and then you just go through it, and then you like 3 acts and then a finale,
okay.
right? But if you want to do like a Netflix series, you have literally episodes.
Wow.
So you have like 10 short rows of like, this happens in this episode, and then that leads into this.
And if you're doing a Marvel show, everyone gets bored by the 10th episode.
Sure. If you're doing
17,
right. Or like the, you know, like one thing that he was working on is like, this is a Sentai action series. Mm. So, you know, you have way more action cards than like setting cards. And then you have like, this is the normal things. And then the thing attacks, and you know what I mean? Like, you know, the formula.
It's like it's only 3 cards in a row for Sentai, and every single setup is the same.
So there's a lot going on, and it was a lot of fun to play. And, you know, they invited us to sit down and do a little demo of it. Had a great time with it. It's called Loopy Lore, and yeah, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this soon, because I had a really good time with it. And the fact that it's like, yeah, it's 2 to 8 players.
Because I heard about this on Twitter, but like, is this like a manufactured game, or is it just something that a guy is fooling around with?
Both. It's a guy. It's a thing that's being made, and he's like in the process of, I guess, like trying to get it out there.
Okay.
But like, what we played was essentially like a kind of like a prototype deck.
because back in the day, we went to PAX East a while ago. There was the guys demoing like their what they made of Smack Talk SmackDown, the wrestling promo game. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, check it out. I'm like, cool, this looks mm-hmm. cool. And then much like 2 years later, they had their Kickstarter for it. And now I have that full deck and I've been meaning to play that for a while now.
The fucking tagline on the official website for Loopy Lore is just the world needs your fan fiction.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because like when the guy originally came up to me about it like way back when, he mentioned, he's like, the story was like, he's like, hey, I'm working on a game, like a board game, it's called Fan Fiction Simulator. You know, and I was kind of and I was like, that thing simulator is on its last legs. It's currently on the way out.
He's
like, really? And I was like, yeah, you know. And he's like, okay, cheers. And so, but like there is, so it's called Loopy Lore now, but that is a thing where you can have every round introducing an established IP character for the fan fiction version of.
And Adam Jensen was there.
And then Sonic walks in.
With his gross balls.
And Shrek never asked for this. Except, like, it's just that you can do that version, but it's a really fun game. So
definitely have tons of update packs for that.
Loops, yes. And that's how it's going to be over 300 cards to start with. So that's my huge plug for this very fun game that I hope makes it further, because I'm definitely going to be playing more of it.
Forcing people in our generation to ad-lib fan fiction seems like...
It seems like the next natural step in evolution.
Seems like a potential for great, occasionally actually great stories.
Well, it was hilarious because I was playing like with my girl and she like was just straight up like going like, okay, so... Her fears of doing anything creative because it's going to get judged immediately and just be like, oh, God, they're all going to think it's awful. Like, she's like, that's literally a source of small anxiety. And so she's like, just even when it came to her turn and she's like, it just forces you out of your comfort zone, you know? And even if it's in a small group of friends and you kind of have to get creative, but you have prompts to help kind of help you. You have things in, you know, in place to put it together. So even if you're not the type of person that likes to grab the spotlight and the microphone and put yourself out there, like, you can follow along with what was just said before you. You have a lot of help to get to the next
just
point.
Just make the story about neatly ordered cubes.
Yeah, sure. And like, yeah, we had a fun one with lots of twists and turns. And I believe a photo was tweeted out with a summary of what our story was. So, yeah, Loopy Lore.
Cool.
Played some more of Way of the Passive Fist.
Yes, you did.
Continuing to go through that. Met the
game very actually literally made for you.
The art team was at the con as well.
Like,
so
aren't they based in Toronto?
Yeah, Ontario. Exactly. Right. And so, you know, got to shake their hands and go, you made something awesome, including that real arcade cabinet. And,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, continuing to go through that. There's way more to that even than, like, that initial quick look we took.
Yeah.
Like, doing the dodge on projectiles means catching them and throwing them back.
I didn't even think.
And like, breaking the rhythm up of, like, parrying one thing, dodging another to do that. It's like, there's a lot happening here. And the way you knock people down, like, depending on whether you do the attack or the dash, is it different as well. Like, it's super dope, that game. We can't push it enough. It's 100%.
What if you played Street Fighter 3 but took out all the offense?
Except for one big punch.
I mean, dude, like I said, it's like it's defensive mechanisms. It's my jam.
When I heard about it years ago and I was like, I can't let Wooly know about this. You're going fucking nuts.
And not to mention that it's like it's also a post-apocalyptic story.
It's very
as
Mad
well.
Max slash... No, Trigun. That's what we
it's very
saying.
Yes, it's very Trigun, very Mad. Like all of that. Man wandering the desert, you know. There was a lot of time spent on buses and, excuse me, during that time...
What was played or watched during buses?
A whole lot of Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
So
did
I...
Did you figure out where you needed to
go? Yeah,
yeah.
Overcame that wall and then, you know, got the thing and went back to the areas I couldn't before.
Mm-hmm.
Expanded the map another 33% from where I was last time. And then
that's just silly how many times you've come on the podcast and said that.
And led to enough upgrades for me to go back to those bosses I was having trouble with on that difficulty spike and crush them.
Yeah.
Now
you've hit a wall.
It's not a wall.
No.
It's just the simple fact that I'm like, there were a couple moments, especially when sometimes you hit a boss too early and you don't know it's too early.
Yeah.
You know, so
I can do it.
It's not so infeasibly, but you're like, I can just get good. And then like, many, many tries later, you're like, this is no, right?
So you hit a wall.
But it's not to say that, but it was just, there's a couple of moments happening where I'm like, okay, I really wish this would get on with it.
He hit a fence.
Mm-hmm. I'm hitting an Okami of like, okay, guys, you know, and it's still very fun.
Oh,
but
yeah?
You have to remember.
You mean a bad Okami?
But like, this is also a story that's drip fed in a very Souls-esque way, and like things are going, and it is ramping up at an extremely slow pace, and it's kind of like, guys.
So you're hitting a wall.
Like, it is the thought of the idea of the possibility that one might consider overstaying its welcome.
Mm. Are you doing – I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend. Are you doing the – which ending are you going?
I don't know what that means.
So there's an ending where you just beat the game, and then there's the ending.
I don't –
where you complete a bunch of stuff in there.
I'm just playing the video game and seeing what happens. And
that's another thing that I'm sure you don't have an answer for, but I've asked you before. Is like, are you playing a version that has DLC integrated into it?
I have no idea.
That's actually important to know.
And I will say this.
You might be doing DLC that is
it's
disrupting
possible.
The flow of the game.
There's definitely optional bosses left and right that I'm choosing to encounter. There is one thing that I will say is that it is God, it was about the DLC thing. It was fuck. It totally just slipped out of my brain. Sorry. It is a feeling of like, you know, like movement is happening, that thing is getting, but like every time, like now, like a lot of new zones are just kind of like, holy fuck. Okay. Wow. And here's the thing. At this point, if this were going, like, I'm at, like, I think hour 32 on this, you know, like Metroidvania, like Souls-esque map thing. Some save points, they're spaced really nicely, but sometimes it's not a nice sprint back to that boss. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's not a smooth sprint back to the boss. It's not. Other times it's much more forgiving. But yeah, man, I mean, it's still fantastic and I'm still recommending it, but like, I can't give a final verdict until I actually hit this fucking end credits. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, holy shit. Game, where? What, you know? And maybe that's what I just remembered. What I forgot and remembered is that, the fact that I'm playing this without any external, like, information, advice out, like, I'm just playing it as if this were me. As a kid in Grenada, you know what I mean?
In a room alone.
No outside anything. I'm just doing it. There probably is a lot of ways to streamline things and whatnot if you have the information coming at you.
I worry that there is like a thing that somebody's going to tell you after you beat the game. And they're going to go, oh, you know, hey, how'd you like that feature? And you go, huh? And it turns out that thing that you could have bought from that hidden guy would have cut like 5 hours down.
I just got that.
Oh.
Literally, the last thing I did was acquire what you just said.
Oh, man.
And it is...
Could you have acquired it far earlier?
By farming and grinding for a certain type of currency that is... You have to discover.
Okay.
Right? There's a couple of areas where you're like, I kind of know where to get this thing, but literally you kind of have to just play an encounter, a special type of currency. And when you get a high number of that currency, you get the time saver.
Got it.
Okay. And holy shit, it's going to now trivialize a lot of the time wasted, but it took 30 hours to get to that point. So, you know, right. So we're going to see. We're going to see what I end up with. But I'm very curious to see, like, after I finish it, now I want to look back and go, okay, what did I miss? What did I not discover? What was obvious? What wasn't? To just see what it's like to, like, play one of these games without any outside, you know?
No outside.
And I do feel that, like, I'm hoping the DLC will have made itself obvious when I do encounter it. But for now, I don't know if I'm fighting backer bosses or not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's moments where it's just unclear. So
watch, like, you enter a room and Zubaz drops down. You're like, Matt, did you do this? I'm like, no. Yeah. You're like, but I didn't.
There's these bosses that I am fighting that are different from the regular ones that make me think they are bosses. Yeah. You know, like, they're more simpler in their patterns, but they have a one gimmick thing, and they're kind of ghosts. So I assume that those are some sort of, like, backer thing. But right. In any case, the verdict will be determined when it's fucking determined. Mm-hmm. Jury's been out for a long time. I'll get back to you when I get back to you.
Why is it that listening to you talk about this makes me want to go back and give Neo another shot? I think it's because Neo's crazy long.
Neo, it's not only that crazy long, but it's also a rabbit hole of features and
every DLC
quality of
they
life.
Added was just that. Like, hey, here's another game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get lost in Neo for another fucking god knows how many hours.
I bounced off it three times. I'll give it another shot.
Yeah. It'll be waiting. That's me.
That's you.
I played a bunch of Mega Man X over the weekend because the
extraordinarily
Legacy
good
Collection came out.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to, I wanted to
get one interruption of your week next week.
Absolutely.
All right.
But this is a good one.
Don't worry. You'll take it.
Because it's about Handsome John, a.k.a. Eyepatch Wolf.
Yes.
And the fact that...
character creator slot default number 2.
Indeed. He made his way over and we continued our feud at the awesome event that was the Drunken Art Power Hour. Liam and Star, and that was a good time. So always nice to see a friendly face, even though his tastes are shit. And then we got drunk afterwards and just had it out.
Sex.
It was like like
you took them out,
sitting at a table, and it was just like everyone was there, but him, me, and Little V just going in on like. What it means to tell a story, what stories are worth telling, rehashing.
That sounds like drunk talk.
It went in because effectively his version of things was almost like anything that comes out that is like safe and good but not challenging anything is not worth your time, right? So I was – and something like Super 8 or Stranger Things shouldn't exist. Why bother? And it's like, it's not challenging anything. It's just doing what we know, but it's doing it well. And it was a really great in-depth discussion.
That's what Eyepatch was saying?
Yeah.
That would explain why he hates Hero Academia.
Exactly. That's where it started. And then I was like, okay, let's talk about Gravity Falls. Nice. And it was great. It was great. So love that dude. Hate that dude.
I know.
Go on. Sorry.
I don't understand.
But the thing that superpopulation exists is just hard to wrap your head around sometimes.
It's the absolute height of like too much into a topic where you become like a mega hipster. It's like, if this thing isn't challenging the perceptions of the medium, it's not.
He was sitting at the table with the sign that says "Change my mind." Little B and I tried to, you know.
And his panel was "Welcome to Hell."
There you go.
To get back to the Mega Man's X's.
I love you, Mega Man.
I gave Capcom a little bit of guff for like again separating these into two $40 releases.
Yeah.
Because I still think it's ridiculous considering the PS2 got like all of them but
sure
one.
Sure is.
Anyway. I bought the first one. Whoa, Wooly's chair. Wooly's chair.
Go on. My chair squeaks, his chair falls apart.
I've had this chair for like 5 years. I don't know why it's made out of fucking like
titanium,
vibranium.
Yeah.
Mega Man X is a weird thing. Getting to play them again all like in a row or whatever because
X6 is terrible.
So I didn't get the second Legacy Collection. So I've never actually played 6.
Oh man.
No, oh, dude.
There's some tweets showing off some good old dumb shit
of. Of the non-Super Nintendo games, I've only played 4 and 5. I've never played 7 or 8. Are we up to 8?
4 is great. Yeah. 5's... 6
X, is, X has gone up to X8, yes.
But playing them now, at least the Super Nintendo ones a bit, like, I, like, kind of... Like, where do you stand on the Super Nintendo ones? What's
X is the shit.
Yeah.
X2 is fun.
X2, X3 is... X3 is lesser.
I was always like, yeah, X1, man. But, you know, actually now I think I prefer X2.
So
for one simple reason is just because levels are a lot more interesting when there's always something like in X1, Armored Armadillo stage.
Mm-hmm.
is really cool and different because you're on the little thing. And then you get the ride armors in one or two other stages. But they're all kind of very similar.
And so this is a really...
Every single level has a weird, fun gimmick that separates them a little better. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the only reason.
It's a really hard thing because to me, I think... X is special to me because of like the first time experience, the music, those moments of like stage slowdown that you just love.
Yeah. All
dude, it's just so good. Mm. So Zero good. For the first time, but I spent more time with X2 because that's the one I had a physical copy of, and that's a better game, right? Mm. So that's the thing is I'm gonna put this in a weird place where I'm like, X2 is the better game.
What's cooler between Dragon Punch and
Dragon
Fireball.
Punch. Dragon Punch. Yes.
Dragon Punch.
Especially when you do it on the fucking moth and destroy him.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
you
Dragon Punch.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was like, oh, yeah, once you get... I didn't get it yet, but I was like, oh, yeah, you can get it in one shot. It's like Morph Moth is the only character you can't one shot because he has two forms, and I forgot about that.
No, you do it on the first form, yeah.
Yeah, but then he goes into the second
form. Yes, right away, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just... But that blew my mind because I'm like, there's a boss with two forms?
Yeah,
like,
and
like just a regular robot master with two forms?
And if you're good enough, you can land it a second time. But yeah. But yes, no, absolutely. Like, that's the thing. And it also, air dashing and fucking...
In two, yeah.
And the final phase charge up, that X-Buster that you get is different.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much cool shit. Wasn't also Crash also only introduced in two? Like, the charge up and explode the whole and blow the whole screen up.
I haven't gotten everything in
X2
yet.
I want to say that's only in X2 as well, where like X floats into the air and goes and Dragon Balls the screen and destroys everything.
That I think of a PlayStation version
Giga Attack.
When I say that.
Giga Attack. Yeah. It was fucking cool. X2 is the better game. Mm. X means more nostalgically.
This collection is really good because...
Giga Crush.
This collection is really good, though, because it's made by... I think it's the same group that made the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection, but, like, it has, like, three really good filters where... Wow, Wooly.
Jealous of your time.
Let's all watch.
He distracts the viewer with your picture.
You can keep talking.
No, I want to see what happens. Who knows what will happen? Alan Key is out, folks! Alan Key is doing his work.
Hey, Matt, you see Max talking to that guy on Twitter where a guy says, I only have money for one of the collections. Which should I get, the first or the second?
Collection one, for God's sakes.
Why would they? Like, I feel like that's why they did it like that, so they could save people from the later half.
Yeah. But on this collection, it has like three filters and has a bunch of backgrounds. And much like the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection I was talking about, all these backgrounds are a little too busy for me. But fortunately, for that special mode where you're fighting two bosses at the same time, they have they have their own artwork that's just a simple bluish like armor design. And it's perfect. So I play with the TV filter on. They have a bad SNK style filter to try to smooth out the pixels. It's horrible. And then they have one with like no filters at all. That one's a little rough, but that's my preferred way of playing it. And like for X1, I beat the game, got every power up except for like one heart like container to increase my health. I'd be in every boss on X2, but that's where I stopped so far.
Flame Stag is so cool.
Flame Stag is very cool. Izzy is cool as Wire Sponge, my most hated of at least the first three games. I forgot how three has some cool guys.
But then it's okay, Gravity Beetle, right? Gravity Beetle gives you the fucking thing and then you use it on the mosquito. What's the mosquito called? The mosquito in X3. Anyway,
I forget.
You use Gravity Beetle.
Toxic Seahorse in X3.
But
man,
you just shoot
cool.
It's a boss that's just like you shoot the weapon and it hurts the whole screen.
Yeah.
It was almost like a non-fight.
Wire Sponge's move is cool. It's like a fucking chain, right? So I'm really enjoying them. I played X4 for more than I ever have. And like, I will not, like, these will always be, even though technically they're better, they're always inferior games to the first three just because I find the sprite work more gaudy. Like, there's much more going on than there needs to be. The music I don't find as good. I hate all the story. I hate all the voice acting. Like, it gets in the way. It, it actually hurts the experience, the story shit.
Four also has a special part for being, again,
the Magma Dragoon is so fucking cool.
Magma Dragoon and the jump up into a new aesthetic. Right, the warning, right?
Warning, I like
that shit is burned into my heart.
Yeah,
that
right.
I absolutely love when you go into any boss fight and it's like, get fucking ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the newer version of the boss theme. Mm-hmm. The he destroyed Steve Irwin and escaped into the sea. Jet Stingray! And, you know, like, all of that just became the new, like, aesthetic for X.
There's bits of it I like, and then there's other bits where I'm like, no, I prefer it in the Super Nintendo games.
Time to get serious!
And I like...
It's not over yet!
And I like in X4 how it's like, yeah, you basically get Street Fighter special move commands rather than just a blaster or whatever. That's neat. But the one thing I really want to talk about is that on those extras museum disc, there's like, watch the fall or the rise of Sigma. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, you've never seen that?
I've never seen it before because it's only on Maverick Hunter, which I never played.
It's pretty
good.
It's
an anime that's pretty good, shockingly.
of what? Sorry?
It's an anime that was on the Maverick, the PSP version.
Oh, Day of Sigma.
Day of Sigma, yes.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it.
Oh.
It's super good.
Yeah.
I was surprised because I'm thinking of bad voice acting. I'm like, no, the voice acting is amazing, but it's serviceable.
Chill Penguin's hanging out, being normal.
Hey, he's just the Penguin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Day of Sigma was important, and it fucking sucked that game was not better, man, because it got the treatment and the money and stuff that...
I never played it, but I always heard people be like, it's... yeah."
And then you go to move once, and you're like,
So Mega Man, or Rockman, Mega Man Powered Up, whatever you want to fucking call it, had... It was a way better game, you know?
Yes, I did like, play Powered Up.
Yeah, it was cutesy and whatnot, but like it felt fun. It was all right. It was, you know, redoing Mega Man 1, which had its own problems, quite frankly. But X fucking... everything was worse.
Like, you can't...
It didn't feel even remotely close.
It didn't need a whole lot of fixing.
Didn't need a whole lot of fixing. So a whole 3D thing just felt worse, whereas Powered Up felt better, and the music remixes were inferior.
I remember thinking...
And that's dangerous when you're playing fucking X.
Playing it on the PSP, and like, oh man, this doesn't... It's because I'm just playing on a PSP, and I went to the trouble of just hooking it up through the TV out stuff. It's like, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine when I play it with a controller.
But for
no.
me, yeah,
no.
And just music wise, it's like, okay, main menu theme, first stage screen, and then Storm Eagle. Neither of these are superior to the originals. We're fucking done here.
So why'd you make them?
Speaking of Storm Eagle, in the Day of Sigma, when Storm Eagle walks in, he's like, hey, X, how's it going? I'm like, no!
Yeah.
This makes him less cool, because when you talk to a boss of Mega Man, I almost always in my head thought they're communicating wirelessly, like they're sending text to each other. I never thought they were speaking in voices, because they totally were, but like,
yeah.
It was just so weird. And in this museum thing, they have full character bios, and I've never, if these are printed somewhere else in instruction manuals, I've never seen them, but it gives every boss their own reason for why did you join up for Sigma. You didn't have an actual thing wrong with you. And
what
Storm
happens?
Eagle was like, I'm going to get fucking killed by them. I might as well join up, but I don't want to.
And it makes
some of them are really cool.
And it makes their stages make sense in some cases too. Like they were in charge of this facility.
Thing. In the Day of Sigma, Zero, I think, asked like Storm Eagle, like, "Hey, weren't you doing a guard duty tour of that ship
of the airship?"
And
yeah,
he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm on leave for a little bit, so I don't have to do it."
What was the
fucking cool?
I always it bugs me every time. But the X Hunters in X2,
yeah.
Surge, Agile.
Violin!
Yeah. I always forget Violin because Vile exists.
Yes. And
God damn it.
And in the Day of Sigma, you see them carrying fucking Vile, and he's like, I'll get all those Revloids or Mavericks one day.
And the one thing that fucking,
so fucking cool.
Maverick Hunter X did introduce was playable Vile for the first time.
I didn't know
So that's the one thing worth it in that game, is go play it to get fucking playable Vile, because his power, the way the powers he gets from bosses and stuff, it's completely different.
I didn't spend long enough to actually play as him.
You get a completely different experience off of that, and like it's different shoulder gun types, you know, and like
Vile's
he just
so cool.
He's just heavy duty. Yeah, that's the one thing that's worth it.
And love you, Vile.
And because in X One, maybe again, if you read the instruction manual, it's been like what 20 years since I've read it or whatever. I just thought Vile was just some asshole, which he basically is. But when they're like, he's a Maverick hunter that hates Mavericks, but was so extreme that they're like, you hate Mavericks so much that I think you're going to be a Maverick soon.
Yes.
Let's just lock you up.
Yes.
And he just escapes when Sigma creates the revolt. And that's it.
Okay.
I never knew that's what he was.
So are you enjoying that story?
Yes.
If you want...
Read the Archie comics.
Dude.
Right?
Remember when I came in and I talked about the Sonic?
Yeah.
It's not the Archie comics.
Damn, okay.
It's not the... But it's the Sonic... The Sonic,
Mega Man?
The Sonic series or whatever, like our comics, like they had a Mega Man X short run,
okay,
right? Because it's all under the same fucking publishing, whatever.
Yeah.
That Mega Man X short introduces like all of that with Vile, Sigma, X, and Zero, like out as a unit,
the four kings
doing work,
yeah.
And you get to see the differences between their philosophies and how that applies to
what they
become and so on. And you know, like Vile is obviously like taking shit out while not really being too concerned for the collateral damage.
And
Sigma's like, no, Vile, you can't do that. I kind of like it though. You know,
in Day of Sigma, X is trying to shoot like this rampaging like mecha bot or whatever, and he's got like one of his compatriots holding him, and X is like, I can't maybe. And then like Sigma just shoots, and it shoots through the guy's arm, but his arm is gone. It'll be fine. And he's like, X, mathematically, you would not have missed that shot.
Right.
You have to be decisive. Don't worry. I wouldn't have killed that compatriot. Vile probably would have, maybe. He didn't say
Dude,
that. But.
Like, it even makes fucking sense with that. Remember that first giant boss you fight?
Yeah.
Like, that thing has its weird, like, round design and whatnot, because it's found as a remnant of, like, Wily's old creations.
It does not feel like
it's
something
literally,
Man X.
I guess it is the Archie comics, whatever, my mistake. But, old Mega Man fights that thing at some point in time, and it gets buried, and then they leave it alone. Mm. So they go digging for, like whatever, and then, like, they find that first boss and fight it. It's, like, a connecting thing. Like, it's really cool.
And plus there's that manga we talked about that Udon's bringing over from last week's podcast that bridges between X1 and X2. Now I'm, like, I'm all in.
I just want a side story with more Iris dialogue.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
But no, though.
Yeah. Remember, though, that the translation of the X in the USA, when Zero says, "Don't die on me, X," that was the original Japanese line, but it gets translated into whatever the fuck.
Even your spite at this nameless person that you keep bringing back up for some reason is fading with your exhaustion.
It's
because you know how like he was on a quest to make everyone hate Castlevania.
I've not seen that person like 10 years.
But I'm just saying like it's like one of the things where like that one person can almost ruin a franchise for you.
Yeah.
Like Mega Man X is hard to ruin.
Yeah.
But boy, did
he Castlevania's hard to ruin, and he sure made me fucking dislike Rondo.
Came close. You know, so anyway.
Seiko no Rondo, fucking Takamo Joe, fuck off.
Demon Castle. Aside from Mega Man X, I watched a Mission Possible Fallout, and I was like, kind of, I don't know, Rogue Nation was pretty good, not as good as fun as Ghost Protocol, but Rogue Nation was pretty good, and this director is returning for this, and I was like, well, 98% of Rotten Tomatoes is pretty high, so I guess I'll go see it.
Henry Cavill's mustache demands to be seen.
Do we understand why he's reloading his fists and why that's a meme now?
Have you not looked at that thing very closely?
His pocket appears?
No, he grows more facial hair when the fists pump.
Yeah. Oh.
Facial hair There's just jumps thing. Onto his face. He gains like, he goes from like a 3-day-old beard to like a 10-day-old beard. Because it's different shots that were composited together over months.
Yeah. Because...
Oh, what? No, I didn't notice that at all.
Now, here's like this is the part I missed in the story. Why was the mustache in Justice League? Because Henry Cavill was doing another movie and they needed to do fucking reshoots for Justice League. But why? Because filming was delayed 3 months on Mission Impossible because Tom Cruise broke his foot doing one of his own stunts. Mm-hmm. So they had to delay that 3 months and then that bled over into the reshoots for Justice League. So it's kind of Tom Cruise's foot breaking is the fault for the CGI mustache out in Justice League.
So it's just a bad like
yeah no go moment. Go look back at the shot when it's Henry
you don't
Cavill
notice it when
walking
you watch
towards
it.
A thing and you only notice it when you're looking at like animated GIFs that loop. But what he you know puts his dukes up and he pumps his fist.
Yeah,
his shirt goes from clean to ruffled.
His pocket appears. I did see that.
Facial hair doubles or triples on his face.
I didn't notice that. Wow. Okay.
It is very clearly two shots that were composited together from like weeks apart at least.
Okay. Okay. No,
it's wild.
None of those memes got that out there. I missed that part of it. Holy crap.
But in general,
yeah, go look at it now. It's crazy.
In general, though, I actually walked away really, really liking this one. It might be a bit...
there it is.
It might be a bit better than Ghost Protocol, because Ghost Protocol, as fun as that is very jokey. Mm. A little too jokey for like Mission Impossible. I don't know. Even if you have Simon Pegg in your movie, like this one has some moments of levity, but mostly it's a pretty serious story. Well, you're talking about combo breakers before. I won't go into specifics, but there's a scene where a guy goes, here's the situation, this is what's going to happen. And someone's like, combo breaker. And then as they're saying it, they go, counter breaker. And then someone's like, someone over there goes, counter breaker. A TV turns on with someone on, they go, counter breaker. And okay. I was like, this is... on the second counterbreaker, I was like, oh, I saw this coming, but I didn't see the third or fourth counterbreaker's coming. Oh my God.
Godlike.
It was awesome.
Combo. I mean, I remember the explosion one where the explosion pushes him forward, and then another explosion is like combo breaker and sends him sideways.
It's impossible.
So there was
or
that.
Two. That was no. That
no.
Was
no.
Three.
It was three.
Three. Three.
Because I've only seen like two.
Because
I've seen
Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol.
I've seen half of all of them. I've skipped each. Like I missed. I did one and two, and then didn't see three, and then saw four, and didn't see five. And I really should catch up. Those moves are fun.
They're strangely, really consistently good. I mean, two, but it's got Limp Bizkit in it, so what can I complain
about?
The
TV turning on should be a shadow counter.
It should have been. But overall, I really, really, really enjoyed it. There are some things towards the end, like some bad CG with just a rock. Like there was a CG rock that almost ruined the last scene.
Oh, yeah?
Because the CG was so bad.
Oh,
it was supposed
yeah?
to be a rock crumbling. I'm just like,
yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about like the Scorpion King.
No.
I thought he was talking about Gorm.
Oh, the rock, right.
A CG rock that almost ruined the whole thing at the end.
There's a scene on a cliff.
Hey.
There's a rock.
Oh.
This is like, Tom Cruise is just like, dun, 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 and he turns around, rah!
The mummy.
That's true.
Man,
that's
the CGI true. Rock coming out is really it's bad.
Amazing. No.
But the part where what's his name?
Brandon Fraser.
Brandon Fraser stabs the rock, and then Imhotep runs in and goes, to nothing, because there's nothing there for him, and he's not looking at anything. He just runs in from stage left. Oh, man, that part is bad.
Mm. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it was also like, you know what's good not to do? You know how we always say established?
Yes. Love so it.
You can't beat how Ghost Protocol establishes every new country.
Never.
It's got them. It's got like a theme of Zangief when they go to Russia.
Da, da, da,
you know,
da,
they, when they go to da, Dubai, da, they have da, the most amazing da, shot of the da, city, and they have a camel and the thing. So this movie smartly goes, you know what? Let's be in England and France, and let's just call it a day. Let's just have a very European adventure, and that's it. And that's like smart, because if you keep. I can't remember if Rogue Nation did this or whatever, but it's just better not to repeat that, because you're not going to beat it.
Nope.
It's so over the top and like fighting gamey that it's just like, I'm glad you didn't. But yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. It's probably one of the better movies I've seen like the entire summer so far. So
woo.
Yeah. Someone was saying something along the lines of like Tom Cruise is one of the few things in life Tom Cruise still enjoys is doing ridiculous stunts. So that's why he'll always come back with a new Mission Impossible.
Yeah, because can you think up fun stunts for me to do?
Because it's an excuse to get his adrenaline fix. Yeah,
because human coupling doesn't do it anymore.
Being the space pope doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick word from our sponsors. This week, the Friendcast is sponsored by Rocket League. Hey friends, listen up. Esports' most exciting game, Rocket League, is a sports action hit that combines driving and soccer for all the physics-based gameplay you can handle. More than 48 million players have already competed with online friends in Rocket League, and you should be next. Just customize your car with hundreds of trillions of possible combinations and play with fans of all ages with groundbreaking cross-platform play on most video game systems. If you prefer to play with friends or family nearby, you can do that too with Rocket League's super fun four-player split screen. You can even play by yourself with an engaging season mode that offers multiple difficulties and team sizes. Rocket League has been nominated for more than 150 awards and starts at just $20, so it's a no-brainer to pick it up. You can learn more at rocketleague.com and download Rocket League today on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam PC, rated E for everyone. We're also sponsored by Acer. Game longer, game harder. Level up on the go with the hardware that's as versatile as it is strong, the Predator Helios 300. Thanks to an Aeroblade 3D fan, the portable rig stays cooler longer, so the only heat you feel comes from the battlefield. Fully immerse yourself in the game with a sleek design that lets you forget it's even there, and with a 7th Gen Intel Core i7 processor and NVIDIA GeForce Tech, you get the purest FPS. Keep your gaming tier free. So focus on becoming the best. Build your empire. The Predator Helios 300 gaming laptop will take care of the rest. All you got to do is head on down to Acer.com, click Store, and enter coupon code FRIENDCAST at checkout to receive 10% off your Predator Helios 300 gaming laptop plus free ground shipping. Offer valid from July 3rd, 2018 through September 25th, 2018 at 11:59 p.m. CDT. Cannot be combined with other order level or coupon offer.
Yeah, that's me.
Cool. Let's run through the news. There's quite a few items. We went from it being a slow news week to it being a packed one. So let's start off with the fact that we got the new trailer for Castlevania Series 2.
Looks cool.
Yeah. I should fucking get on this.
Yeah, me too. I found the same thing.
It will not take you long because the first part's only 4 episodes. It's like, it's a movie length, you know? So.
You can kind of piece it together.
I'm glad that this is more. This is 8 episodes this new season. And
oh, nice. I didn't catch that. Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Didn't this also win some sort of awards or something along those lines?
I just love how simple it is.
The animation is really, really tight. A lot of vibes of D. Mm-hmm. I feel like I get from watching this stuff. I feel like I'm watching what D would have become if it continued going as a franchise.
Why does Dracula need such a huge place to live?
Yeah, so
he's an asshole.
It's like, dude, like look at Dracula's design in this, and like tell me it's not like just take D's Dracula, but also the traditional Dracula from Castlevania.
I just love, you know, how simple the plot is in these things, where it's just like, man, Dracula's evil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Meyer Link from
get him. He's gotta get got.
Does he do his spells? His trademark spells.
Who?
Dwarf Metamorphosis.
No.
Oh.
In the first thing, he doesn't. I obviously don't know about this. But.
Damn. Okay. Well, yeah, that's super dope. Yay for that, coming out on October 26th.
You might want to wait until this is out and then watch the first one, because if you...
To get more?
Because when the last episode of the first run finishes, it's really unsatisfying.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's
okay.
A cliffhanger.
Got
so
it.
You want to wait.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
That's the only like real negative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
so
no.
This is straight up Castlevania 3
yes.
We're looking at here.
It's just Alucard, Trevor, Sypha, and...
And the first series, who was that?
Same.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Man, that's so cool. It's so cool that this exists.
Yeah.
I say as not the biggest Castlevania fan.
It's
super cool.
When Game Trailers did the retrospective, when Game Trailers was doing that, mm-hmm. back in the day, they mentioned this being made. That's how long it
took.
That's
ancient, man.
God, how long ago was that?
They want to make a CG or animated Castlevania movie based on Dracula's Curse. that was back then.
Okay.
And now it's morphed into, like, Netflix is now a thing. And now let's, mm-hmm. you know.
So this next one is more just kind of like talking points. But the Kill a Kill game, if they kind of worked out what the system is going to be like a little bit. And, you know, as you can expect, it's a fighting game. But it's a simplified fighting game in the sense that there's one button for up-close attacks.
It's an anime brawler.
And exactly. So there's tilts. But ultimately, it's not a full-on complex fighting
That's
system.
That's not necessarily a kiss of death.
That being said, what they're doing is a bit of a Pokken thing in the sense that – so you have moves that you have attacking. You have there's two attack triangles to this game that they kind of break apart. So yeah, you have the blow, which is your normal attack. Then you have a guard break and then a guard that, you know, creates one sort of rock, paper, scissors. But then you also have a dodge, an attack, and then I assume a throw, right? A read evade. Exactly. And like those, so you have like these two basic rock, paper, scissors elements of gameplay. So, you know, that's fine and dandy. But what actually is fun about this is the conversation system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anime.
Introduced as, what is it? Yeah. Ketsui, Hyome, and Zetsu. So. Speech of Expressed Determination is a system that reproduces the conversation scenes with enemies while fighting, seen in the anime. During battle, you land one with L1 plus R1, and essentially you're doing clashes in Injustice,
mm-hmm.
and if you win or tie, you increase your level with the firmness of your statement, mm-hmm. and it gives you buffs. Right, so speed
and so on
as you continue to fight, and the screenshots that they show you here are like the two characters having a shouting match. So you're seeing Satsuki and
Ryuko.
Thank you. Having a rock paper scissors conversation triangle in the middle of battle, and you have to shout each other down with the appropriate responses. So I'm thinking insult sword fighting.
That's great.
From Monkey Island. In the middle of a fighting game to buff yourself. So that's a fun thing because it's an aspect of the anime that I didn't really think of as a unique one, but it happens a fuck ton.
Yeah, I'm just thinking it's like, oh, I was like, when I looked at this, I was like, oh, that'd be cool if they put that in the Hero Academia fighting game. And then I went, that doesn't make any sense because very few of the heroes or villains in Akka are like witty.
Yeah. No.
Like, what would Deku yell? I'm going to get you without shattering my bones this time.
Whereas every single fight, bar none, in Kill la Kill,
lots of talk,
is about a battle of ideals.
Yeah.
Every single one. So this is the perfect thing for it. So that's fun. That's a really well thought out thing. I like that. And I'd like to see if like... You choose, like, the person who goes on the offense, like, are the answers going to be appropriate matches? Because I hope that, you know, you, like, you say the lame thing, and it's like, no, of course that wouldn't counter that.
Unless they tried it serious, and your lame thing was so lame that it made them look stupid.
It's humans are pigs in human, you're pigs in human clothing, or
and then
whatever.
You go oink oink, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
And stab. Then you win the clash.
Yeah. No.
That's a firm statement, oink oink.
We have no clothing. That's why we choose nude beach.
That's why our costumes are basically making us naked.
So with a relatively simplified attack system and button system, I'm hoping for the whole roster.
Yeah. I hope so too. I mean, again, I feel like we're looking at a Pokken style system. So,
still disappointed we didn't get that full roster in Pokken.
You're not full roster.
That's right.
I mean, at that point, you just make it open source.
Yeah.
This is not so much a story as much as it is a
segue.
How do we dig further?
How do you dig further?
When it comes to Naruto fighting game names.
Oh, God, I saw this.
This is the worst. This is the worst ever.
I always had a special place in my heart for Narutimate Hero.
Yeah. As you would.
And Road to Boruto was always a fun one. We're now going into Naruto Cross Boruto, Boruto Cal Generations, announced for your PC browser, folks. We're just...
That's not even close to being a word ever.
It's just as bad as it's ever been. God bless.
Radical?
Yeah, I think
Boru
so.
Tikal.
I think it's supposed to be like radical.
But it's not radical.
Bortical.
It's Borutical. It's Bortical.
Bortical.
Yeah.
That's like some shit.
But it's Bolt, so it's Boltical.
That is some shit that young Enzo would yell in like season one of Reboot. Boratical.
Borutical.
Alphanumeric.
Yeah. Oh,
boy, that's pixelacious.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Shoutouts to tweets that show off the adult Naruto and Sasuke fighting something and it being high budget Sakuga. Mm. That was money.
Yeah, it was.
But whatever.
I seen it.
Like, I'm like, what is he fighting? Who cares? Oh, he can do that now? What?
You know what? You know what Naruto is? It's that cute goat that you slap out of the way for the cuter Hero Eka goat. Mm, yeah.
I'll eventually reach those heights as I'm crawling this fucking snake eater ladder. We have new gameplay of Sekiro.
Oh, shit. I completely missed this.
And...
where is it?
I see a lot of bullet points.
I think it's just a preview. I think I saw this article pop up somewhere else. I think it's just they saw it.
Oh fuck! Okay.
Wow.
Mur-br-br.
Okay, we'll kill that.
Yeah, it was shown at a show.
We'll look at it.
Was there no actual
Neo
footage?
Alternate later.
Was it just the description of it? Mm. Let me just confirm for sure. That's the same article.
Yeah, it's the same article.
Oh yeah! Like, damn. Okay, my mistake. Well,
like it's describing the article is still valid. It's just describing what it is rather than like we can't see it. It was shown at some.
Okay, well, no video, but it describes a duel and some mechanics that they did see in the video.
So there's a lot of stealth,
weapon changing.
If you want to go read the whole article? You can go over to Silicon Era.
Yes. There's quite a few things, but hopefully that video will pop up soon.
It won't.
They'll
hold back.
If it's Activision, I wonder if they'll ever have like those highly produced like gameplay tours.
Oh, Mac, you see that the Doom footage is going to get shown in like 10 days?
Yeah, no, I did because they thankfully said that really, really early. Like, we're going to live stream the whole thing.
Yeah. So only to QuakeCon attendees, though.
We're going to live stream it to only people in the arena.
That's right. That's right. They'll manage. Fuck.
We'll contain the Wi-Fi signal.
The weekly Switch announcements keep on coming. This time it's a game called Raised.
Well, that looks cool.
And it looks like a nice speedrunning fucking woolly aesthetic. announced for the Woolies Brain platform.
It's intense.
Bright colors and geometry.
Well, it
says speed running.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, this is so there's a lot going on here that is kind of like what is the game with the girl that runs on the walls and stuff?
Mirror's Edge.
Cloud Built.
Thank you. Super Cloud Built. The thing is, but Mirror's Edge is a real world. You know, Super Cloud Built is like a crazy fake glowy world.
Yeah, she's in some fantasy world.
And Raised is very much like that with hazards and bullshit in the way as you try to run to the edge and the world disappearing behind you and in front of you as you run. So, man, this shit looks really cool. R-A-Z-E-D. And
Raised.
You can check this out on when's the date that it drops?
September 15th.
You saw it there? Yeah, perfect. October 15th.
Well, there's one. I think the Steam version's out on September 15th.
Okay.
It says that at the end of that trailer.
Okay, so then the Switch version is coming out a month later then. Mm. Yeah. As fuck.
It has to go to the wonderful, not variable marketplace that is Steam first.
Let's see how it does.
Hopefully it's not a crypto miner.
There is...
it won't be.
RE2's got its announcement for its collector's edition.
That's super not worth it at all.
And a bunch of shit that's involved in this big box.
Boy, is it not worth it at all. That box. Like, it's...
Well, it's a nice box. The box art.
The nicest part of it is the box. Like, literally the box that this shit comes in. But the rest of it is just like...
stupid RPD blueprints. Who gives a shit?
Let's see?
Art book, sure. Leon statue, sure.
Pre-order it to get the goddamn soundtrack.
$200.
$200. Jesus.
That's ridiculous.
If that statue is not like super decent quality.
It looks good from here, at least.
But you know the problem with that. which you get is a fucking dollar store
then
print.
Then you get Ryu and Viper from Street Fighter 4.
The kind that melt in the heat so that their ankles bend down.
The kind
fall
that
forward.
They pre-melted and then put it in your box.
Yeah. So, okay.
But then if you do try and ship like a really nice figure, like there was a Shiva figurine, I think, for FF14 that got sent out, and it was quite high quality. Like, most people got them, like, smashed to bits in the mail.
They have to be.
And a bunch of DLC costumes for the game itself.
Yeah, Elza Walker.
Samurai Edge Albert model as a weapon.
It's just Wesker's gun.
Mm-hmm. It is a nice box, though.
Yeah.
It is. Is that actually, like, steel casing?
No,
or is it just cardboard with prints?
Although for $200, it better be.
No, it's
yeah.
Not.
Well, dude, the Devil May Cry pizza box.
Listen, no. Here's the thing, though. Like, this is a big collector's edition and all that. The actual most important thing, which is currently unfortunately only pre-order, is the original game soundtrack as an option for every room in the game, and that's a pre-order thing. That feature is 100 times better than all of these little toys and stickers.
So that's what they're pushing. There is also brand new, hot off the presses as of this morning, for some unknown reason, Uppers from Beyond the Grave has been rated for PS4.
Be its full name, Uppers Beyond the Grave,
from in Australia. And this was
rated
the game
for PS4 in Australia.
Yeah, so if you remember, which a lot of you probably don't, because this was a one-off way back in the day, we all got hype. Liam and I remember especially got hype because, the studio behind Senran and Kagura basically made this beat 'em up
with men
and Daidoji.
Daidoji, I forgot.
Daidoji's in there too.
Never forget.
Yeah, this whole thing is about like getting into fights and like it's almost as if like imagine Babylon Club from Fight for New York, except it's a bunch of schoolgirls on the outside watching the fight, getting turned on.
And their hugs and adoration buff you.
Yep. And if you get pushed, then you might get pushed into someone's cleavage and go, and get all fired up and fight harder.
And this got so few pre-orders in Japan that they just straight up...
Wasn't there an exact number?
Like
2,000?
No, I thought it was like, 2,000.
It was an exact number that we had that was so low.
Two guys.
And anyway, it was such an embarrassing thing.
They were going to have plans to import it, to localize it, and then they just canceled them immediately once the pre-order numbers in Japan came in.
Yeah, pretty embarrassing. But... so this getting a shot again on PS4, like, I'm really happy and excited to see that.
It is, and
I'm a fan of the art style because Hiroaki of KOF 11 fame was behind a lot of the character designs, so it's super worth it. You can go check out the video we played of it to see what it's like. But yeah, I hope Uppers becomes a real thing. That'd be fucking great. Really excited for that because it's like what a waste of an effort.
Like the audience of Senran Kagura, they buy one thing, Senran Kagura.
That's correct. You seen Daidoji and Uppers, Pat?
I don't know what that is.
She's a Bansho woman. She's fucking awesome.
I'll show you. Daidoji is Jotaro as a girl with a burning fist.
Cool.
Got it?
Got it.
Good.
Can't make anything cool.
Yeah, no worries.
It's Jotaro with blank and blank.
So yes, Insomniac Spider-Man has gone gold.
Yay.
But
more importantly, the image they released.
Shut up!
So I'm sorry, podcast. There's no way to really convey this in audio form. You have to go to Twitter and go to Insomniac Games like account and take a look at what they did.
Or just go to Destructoid's article about Spider-Man going gold and they just talk about this image.
But they essentially recreated the awesome 70s Spider-Man sitting behind the desk at a height that makes no sense image
with
the image gone gold. It's fucking fantastic. It's a pure visual.
So
please go check out Insomniac Games Twitter account.
41,000 likes in about a day.
I feel
Make that one more.
I'm sure God of War was not the start, but I feel like it was the big impetus of, use your fucking video assets to just create dumb memes on Twitter is now going
that's
to be
new,
a thing.
That's a new form of marketing.
Yeah, so...
No, you know what? Naughty Dog did it with fucking Joel and the Banderas thing for...
Because if you jump... If you head them off at the pass by making your own high-quality memes first...
With assets that they can't possibly have access to at the time.
Then everyone's going to have to use that. So Insomniac Spider-Man, sitting at the desk. Go check it out.
Kratos throwing that fucking computer out got a lot of use.
And, of course, Atreus going thumbs up. Good shit.
This is the new age.
Welcome to the new age. Company-branded memes. To the new age. Welcome to the...
This is how Shadowrun starts.
And Nintendo will get on board on this in another, 5 years, and their memes will also be 5 years old.
You know what's going to be? It's, do you want to use memes with our characters? You have to sign up to the Nintendo meme program.
A part of this weekend...
The club.
A part of this weekend was dedicated to watching all the Nintendo Jim Henson skits. The fucking puppet skits.
Oh, right.
And just appreciating those little things. Those were great.
Those were
they classic. When they try, they get it. They do, but sometimes they don't.
Jim Henson's a good meme.
Twine is back, a.k.a. Tsubarashiki.
Oh, I thought you meant The World Is Not Enough.
Again?
Final remix. Then the same one. Okay. So they're showing off some of the new pins, background music, and more. So a lot of details about the upcoming re-release of The World Ends With You. It's really nice to see this art sharp, you know? And
it must have been. Oh, you mean the
in game? Yeah. Sure. That's what I mean. And it's really cool to see that stuff. But lots of details of this dropping, and so on.
Once upon
and
a
so
time,
forth.
I was like, I wanted to go to conventions and buy more pins
I'm
than just
terrified.
The stand.
Oh, I had a little collection going.
I only had the one.
I'm terrified to play this game because. I tried it on the DS way back, and that I had the exact same problem as you, Wolves, with the touch controls. But, and you know, the art style is cool and the music's cool, and I hear all these great things about it, and I'm really worried for this new version. It's the version that has everything I asked for, right?
Yep.
What if I play it, and, I hate it, and I'm like, oh, this sucks.
Only one would have found out.
Well, there's that Wolfpack one.
Yep, don't turn your back. The best thing going through that iOS version was, oh, fuck, the new music they added here is great, because why wouldn't it be? Mm. So... The idea of adding new music to a game where the music is some of the best, in all of video games, is a really, really cool
thing. Well, I definitely
need
new music because it has a whole, new, added campaign. So I guess they're we have
But imagine, they're like, yo, we're re-releasing Jet Set Radio and we're adding new music to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Okay. Oh, Too Mellow? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just grab that album.
Just fucking do it. So you can take a peep at what's going on there.
Yo.
Yeah. Big dread guy for that boss. I remember that guy.
Yeah, me too.
Stranger Things season 3 will be pushed to 2019.
I always assumed it was. I never heard anything otherwise, but I guess
it got bumped back. It was originally supposed to start this fall.
It's supposed to be a time jump too.
Well, did you watch the trailer they put out for it?
No, I did not.
So the trailer they put out for Stranger Christ. Things season 3. Is just a mall. It's a super old-timey ad for an American mall placed in Hawkins that the Star Court. And, it goes on for 3 minutes.
Definitely a time jump because they must have constructed this big mall.
It goes on for 3 minutes, and I guess this whole thing's going to take place inside of this mall.
Can we stop? This article's not even worth talking about. This is not a story worth telling, Willie. Let's just...
Eye
patch wolf.
Yeah.
I thought you were just being a jerk.
So in this
being an eye patch wolf.
So in this trailer for just this mall, there's nothing to note except for
Steve
1 second where Steve is working at an ice cream shop with an Ahoy hat, and that's literally it. And then it just goes back to being the Star Court Mall. Nothing else to know of note, you know. So
that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I saw that screen cap of him with the Ahoy hat, but I was like, what the fuck is this? And
I still maintain that, anthologies over continuity.
I completely agree.
I also agree.
Haven't seen the second season yet because I was just like,
it's good.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's super good.
But
that initial thing of like, oh, cool, new thing is not there anymore.
Yeah. I think we're going to, and like, if this maintains that level of quality, then there's really nothing to complain about. But
yeah, there's always something.
But I think the further we go with the same cast, the more you're going to be like, okay, they've been through what now?
These are some capable individuals.
Like, how many life-threatening, world-threatening events does it take before you move out of Hawkins? You know? I don't know.
As many as it takes that the audience doesn't get bored.
Well, yeah. So yeah. The end of a season three that would solve that problem would be the implication that things like this happen all over the U.S.
There is that.
Right?
Yeah.
Every little town has its own battles with the Eldritch God.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, like, how are you going to tell an entire cast that's now famous, like, you're all fired? You can't. No one wants that.
Well, a lot of these kids have, like,
yeah, and
then they get to fight the blood sport of who gets to be the Koichi rolling into the next part.
And I will say that, the True Detective did the anthology, and bad things were yeah.
I wanted a sequel to the first one.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not a slam dunk.
No.
It's not a guarantee. We're obviously saying this with the caveat that it's not shit.
Mm.
But, yeah, it gets weirder as we continue with the same cast going forward, I think. Anyway.
But they're getting too old now.
The Sultan of Sit. Yeah, that happened.
I'm dead.
Brendan Williams got over, and it was fucking rad.
Yeah. I asked him, what's with the sitting? And yeah. He goes, when I drop, they pop.
Like, straight up, there was... So there was a photo that was going around before this actually happened of Brennan, like, doing his crazy sit pose, looking super dramatic. And at an NXT event, he became... the Sit Master, the Sultan of Sit, the audience shouting, holy Sit, holy Sit, because all he does is he just sits in the ring dramatically and looks cool and everyone fucking loves it.
If the crowd goes nuts for your thing, you don't understand why, don't question it. Just fucking do it.
And there was a clip from the FF10 playthrough that popped up.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I watched it with sound off.
Okay. You have to watch it with sound on.
I will.
Because it's basically us at the beginning talking about when Titus is just...
It's like during the first...
the first Blitzball on FMV. Yeah. He's sitting above it and the crowd's cheering and he's just looking up and breathing in. Yeah. And I'm like, what is this asshole doing? Yeah. Why is he... And then we're like, no way. To be fair, if you just sit there peacefully doing nothing while the crowd gets hyped for you,
yeah,
you're the best.
Just take it in.
And then it just cuts to Brennan.
Yeah,
so
no, it's good.
Wrestling's a bizarre world, and you never know what's going to get over.
I said,
and then something gets you so over.
I said to him, like, not to, like, you know, this is really similar to Raven. He would always sit in the corner just like that. He's like, yep. I stole it from Raven.
Yep.
And he goes, 10-year rule.
Absolutely.
He hasn't been active.
Sliding
in like 10
cycle.
Years, mine now.
Comic books, same thing.
Like, exactly.
10-year sliding cycle.
It's fine.
So it turns out that...
Mm-hmm. That...
The cosmetics people buy in Fortnite,
yeah,
make a lot of money, you guys.
Yes,
they make a billion dollars.
They make the most money of anything ever to exist in a human.
There's a Gamma Sutra article that popped up called "Fortnite Cosmetics Possibly Taking Revenue from Top Console Games," and this is based on an analysis that basically breaks down that when you remove Fortnite's cosmetic purchases from all in digital sales.
Mm-hmm.
You lose 6%.
That's
the industry
lot.
Goes down, basically.
this is an analysis put out by SuperData.
There's only so much. There's only so much money to go around, particularly with an audience that very likely has a very limited income, right? So, people buying Fortnite things, that game has an insanely broad appeal, which means that it by default appeals to a younger audience as well. Let's say 10 and over. And people that are 10 to 15 have no money other than the money they acquire from parental or other sources. And if it goes into Fortnite, it's not getting saved up for whatever.
The site that put out that information, SuperData, shout outs to them because they open up their article on a TLDR, that just says, despite claims of an industry-wide growth spurt carried by Fortnite's success, several signs indicate the material cannibalization across top incumbent franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah, the money is...
There's only so much
money to go around, and it's got to go someplace.
And 6% of it goes to Fortnite.
Pools towards Fortnite.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane, though? Like, yeah. There's always a number like that at the top franchise, you know, whether back when it was Call of Duty or whether it's a League or Dota thing or, you know what I mean? Like, there's always...
Call of Duty day one, 11 million fucking sales back in the heyday. And the WoW money. Whenever people would run the math on the WoW money, it just got gross.
Counter-Strike held it for a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Even a year or two ago, I remember an article saying that over all of Overwatch's loot box sales had like gone over $1 billion too.
Hmm.
Since it's decreased, but still.
Yeah, but right now Fortnite is basically a vacuum.
Give me the money.
So, like, this hasn't happened to either of you yet, where, like, I was hanging out at home, and I wound up talking to this lady in her, like, 40s or 50s, and she has, like, a son that's 16, and she's, like, she's just making small talk, and he's like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I make stuff on
my
YouTube.
My son plays Fortnite, he wants to get into YouTubing.
Not quite, but pretty much essentially. She's like, oh, my son, he loves watching those guys play games.
Every day.
And he goes, honey, do you know this guy? I'm like, I'm from Super Best Friends. I don't know what that is. I play Fortnite.
Yeah.
I watch Fortnite. Do you play Fortnite? No. I can't help you.
I was hanging out with my nephew, who's like 5 years old, and the first question out of his mouth is like, do you know about Fortnite?
Yeah.
Because he's not allowed to play Fortnite because it's too violent.
Every Uber driver, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Same story.
That's
like, true. Oh, yeah, I know my nephew, you know? Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to play that dope Detroit game.
Yeah. Get that tattoo. No, it's...
That's not good. Don't get that tattoo.
I mean, look, you're allowed to be stupid. It's a tattoo from a video game. It doesn't equal Holocaust, but it's just like the fact that you picked that game
spot on your arm.
Oh, that's
it's not.
That's just that's you're gonna.
It's a little tasteless.
You're gonna regret that. It's again. It's not the direct. Yeah. Anyway, you're allowed to be stupid. There's nothing. Nothing to say that, like, oh, no, you cannot do that.
Wait, am I allowed to be stupid?
You, your career depends on it.
Fucking good. If I stop being wrong for 1 second, it all falls apart.
Buy gold.
What?
Why not celebrate Street Fighter's 30th anniversary with an $8,000 gold bar? Street Fighter...
Why isn't it like a Bisonopolis gold bar?
Sometimes they nail it every once in a while, they don't. I don't understand what the fuck's going on, but over at Capcom...
Who greenlit this?
They're making solid gold bars that you can buy with the Shadowloo fucking emblazoned logo on it for the Four Kings.
I want to point out that the photo that they're using of the gold bar makes it look very large. This is a 27 by 47 millimeter gold bar.
And it costs $300?
That is...
More than $300, my friend.
That is like the size of a pack of gum.
$8,600.
How about fucking fix bugs in the game?
This is...
Buy gold. Shut up and buy gold.
All right.
Invest in your future.
I will, Jeff Jarrett.
This screams like somebody just wanted this at Capcom and just got enough crazy people to go along with them.
That's the size of it. Yeah, it's like a lighter or like a...
When it all goes to shit and when the crash happens, you're going to be cracking open your Street Fighter cases and selling your gold.
I should point out that if it all goes to shit and the crash happens, gold might be worthless.
You could use it to perhaps bludgeon someone.
Okay, I don't mean that crash. I don't mean the fall.
Okay, you mean the stock market crash.
I mean the economic crash.
You don't mean the downfall.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
There's a difference. Yeah.
Even if the stock market crash, it'd probably be worthless.
No, because when money becomes valueless,
gold remains economy still exists, gold remains gold.
Then gold has value.
Yes.
Because it used to have value like ages ago.
No, because it's rare.
And the idea that, hey, let's fucking bullshit shit we don't know because we're not economists. But
listen, I'm an economist.
But the when the Federal Reserve is printing money that has no actual equivalent in gold because they can now print paper.
Well,
and
no, that's only
value,
for the gold standard.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, because we use fiat money now.
And the fact that the Federal Reserve is a private company, it's not actually government.
Because like in Fist of the North Star, your gold equivalent is like a bag of dog food or a bag of rice that doesn't have eyeballs.
Yeah, because they've reverted to a barter economy.
Yeah.
So in Fallout, caps are past the barter economy.
That's why the casinos in the new Visenor Star game make no sense.
Oh, don't worry about it.
But the idea is always that when the economy that still exists falls, what matters is gold and land.
Does inflation hurt gold? I wouldn't imagine it does.
Gold is gold is gold.
Yeah.
And land is land is land is land is land is land is land.
It's funny because gold, what used to be valued because it was shiny and it was rare, and then it became double value because it had those traits, but it's also like an unbelievable superconductor and is amazing for all sorts of mechanical and technological appliances.
But it's also shitty at being hard and like...
Yeah, but that makes it easy to form into technology.
Yeah, so...
It's an ideal building material for some things, for robots.
Like Skynet will make golden terminators. Yeah.
But not ideal for like, you know, durability.
Wait, so no, they won't.
If technology,
that's
shitty terminator.
That's what I'm saying. No, you can bite into it.
Wait, hold on. Gold is extraordinarily durable. It's just malleable.
Malleable. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, sure.
You can bite into it, but like you're not going to wreck it.
You're not going to enjoy it either.
Street Fighter.
You can eat gold if you're an asshole.
If you're desperate enough.
I've drank gold before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe have I done that? I don't know.
Probably have you. If you had Goldschlager.
Yeah, I have.
Then you've drank gold.
How do they get away with that?
The shavings are, there was a literal, there's
like micron.
Yeah. There's an article that I read, I remember way back in the day, about literally how they get away with that.
Yeah. Because I remember
on their website, they have a section that says, how do we get away with this?
I remember reading somewhere where somebody was like, you know, if you took all the gold in the world, it wouldn't even fill up a football field. Like, there's not a lot. There's very little.
Sad. You'll be back, gold. Don't worry.
Oh, man, you know what would really fuck up the economy?
What?
Asteroid mining, and it's like an asteroid that's like 35 kilometers wide of gold.
Oh, we just start pulling it out?
And it's like, oh, gold, like, oh, look, we found a gold asteroid. Look, we're rich. No, you're not, because now gold has zero value.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone about
the asteroid.
No,
you can't tell anyone about the asteroid.
Just say I got gold.
You
got
to pull a bunch of it out, and then Bruce Willis it. And then it splits.
Oh, man. That's one of my favorite little character moments in Hero Aka. Where they go to buy some shit, and they're like, Yaozu, why don't you just make some money? And she starts freaking out.
Yeah.
Because, like, the government is watching her all the time. Yeah, and she's not making money out of nothing.
That's yeah. Like, I mean, her power, unrestricted, is amongst the most broken. Yeah. There's a game launching on September 4th called Planet Alpha, and I thought it was a cute little trailer. Essentially, you are side scroll running away from a fucking collapsing world at almost all times because aliens and tech and bullshit is just out to get you. And
this looks like a very colorful alien themed Inside.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Inside, but it's like almost like all the running parts of Inside with nothing like that's not the running parts.
And that reminds me of Out of This World.
Yes. So I feel like this is set pieces, the game, basically, because it's just get the fuck out. It's all coming to get you. But it looks
cool.
That
should have been the name.
Yeah. Planet Alpha.
It's coming to get you.
It's coming to get you. Like some asshole aliens are chasing you down. And you're going through a very beautiful planet.
Oh, Team 17.
Why do they got to be like that? Why
Team
be
17,
assholes?
Yay. Worms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, because they have the tech, and what are you? What's your primitive life form ass doesn't matter.
Oh. Yeah.
Good
you're
stuff.
Nothing in the cosmic, like, vastness.
That
is what?
I didn't mention, but it's coming to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. That's a thing that I like. Nailed it. Oh, yeah.
And last but not least.
You should sometimes just do least.
Well, there's a new Venom trailer today.
Oh, boy.
Popped up this morning.
God, they are really, really going, shit, we fucked up so bad with that first trailer. It doesn't stop showing Venom in this one.
Now it's too much.
Oh, what trailer are we watching? Oh, it's Venom.
It was Venom.
Okay, just checking because they had to tell
us. When's it coming out?
Oh, well, you know.
August 8th.
Venom trailer now.
It's not popping up over the top of the screen, so I can't possibly know when it's happening. But anyway, it's Venom trailer 2.
3, technically.
With the symbiote.
Counting the teaser.
Counting the teaser.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, me either.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think so far of what you've seen of it?
It shows what he's going to be fighting. Unless you don't want to see that, look at the last 5 seconds.
Is it Spider-Man?
Well, did they? We already discussed what he was going to be fighting when they said the fucking
Ryan Lasher, Agony.
The assholes are in it.
Yeah.
Does the guy still keep saying what is he?
Symbiotes.
I think he says it once.
Okay. Well. We're watching the
creation
of the other symbiotes, I suppose.
That are jerks.
Yeah. I will say that...
not like Venom. Venom's not
he
a
says
jerk.
We a lot in this, which I like.
Yes, and it looks like the full suit is going to look good.
Oh, and you'll see a full body shot of him. Because I was thinking, if Spider-Man's not in this, what's on his chest?
Yes. Yeah.
So you'll see.
Oh, that's true. And it actually talks to him separately.
This looks like the darkness.
Yeah.
A lot.
So the head comes out and, like, literally talks to Eddie Brock.
Yeah. As a little sidekick.
We are Venom.
Nothing is on his chest.
Nothing is on his chest. It's literally just all black.
Which is fine, because there are Venom designs that
use the Venom shield! I hate that!
But maybe in a later sequel, when they get the rights to tie it in together, then he learns about Spider-Man.
Ultimate Venom doesn't have anything on this chest, at least, I think.
Oh, okay, well, then...
Because he was just a made-up suit.
Sure.
At least in the video game, I'm not sure about the comics.
This is a long trailer.
Yeah, it's a 3-minute trailer.
Jesus.
The world needs superheroes.
Oh, no, saw it.
Something on his back?
It said the world has enough superheroes.
Has enough superheroes.
There he is.
Venom Slice. Yeah. He's doing the moves.
Oh, man, they're going to fight an evil Venom? Venom?
No,
it's going to be a big goo battle.
Riot or Lasher.
Phage. Goo battle. This trailer keeps going.
This is a whole lead up to it.
Yeah. That's fun. So, when...
The trailer's still going.
It is still going. I'm trying to talk here and say that the trailer's coming out... the movie's coming out when?
October
5th. All right. Tom Hardy.
They should have really showed that earlier on and not shown that Venom teaser that gave everyone like a bad impression.
Venom without Spider-Man still stupid. Doesn't make any sense.
It's not a guarantee just yet. I'll say that much.
Venom looks great. That movie looks bad.
And I want to just briefly mention something that blew my fucking mind because of how involved with like my childhood this was.
Mm.
But... there's a story that came out on the Daily Beast about
crazy
how
shit.
An ex-cop rigged McDonald's Monopoly game and stole millions.
Congrats, everyone who ever won the McDonald's Monopoly game.
Almost every prize over the course of 12 years was a rigged-ass thing because the guy who was responsible for like safely
pieces.
Putting the prices, the million-dollar prizes was super corrupt and eventually got involved with fucking... gangsters and straight up the Sopranos in real life.
So,
and it's like there's plot twists and turns every paragraph of this story on the Daily Beast. Go fucking read it if you have any attachment or interest in this, because I grew up in a fucking place where everyone I knew was playing this game, right? Everyone was hardcore into the fucking McDonald's Monopoly game to the point where even at church, because it's not gambling, it's a fucking it's a burger contest.
Fuck off,
right?
With that,
it ain't gambling. So even people at church were in on it, and even that comes up in the story. My history teacher once told me about how a hospital randomly got a boardwalk piece mailed to them anonymously, and some good Samaritan just did it, and it was an amazing thing that happened. That everyone was like, "Wow, that's so crazy." And that was a mystery in our lives for the longest time about how this unmarked envelope that just said Dallas wound up at a hospital for a children's research hospital. That works into this story. And little bits and pieces of things I'd heard over the years is all connected in what could be a trilogy.
So the long and short of it, however, is you can't assign the final responsibility for items worth millions of dollars to one
human.
Person.
Yeah.
To one person. Because then they can just take them if they want.
an ex-cop security guard became a mobster. Straight up.
Well, he's working on some fucking print job, and they hand him a little sticker, and they're like, the sticker's worth 500 grand.
The FBI eventually launched something called Operation Final Answer, which was basically a series of mixed stings on previous winners, because this had been a fucking racket that had been going on for years. And everyone was in playing the game that I knew, and but no one ever...
You can win a Sega Game Gear.
Okay. So here's another thing
they should just give out random hundreds of millions of dollars to anybody who ever played it.
So one thing I'll tell one like of all the little bits and pieces, one of the ones, for example, I'll throw out that like was relevant was so there's a part of this story where they describe that this was not considered gambling. It was considered a contest because you didn't have to buy a burger to get a piece. Mm-hmm. You could just apply.
I didn't know that.
For free. By writing to McDonald's and saying wanted to play, right? That takes a lot of effort.
And time.
Eventually, later on, and during, I forgot what year it was, they made it so that you could just go to a website and sign up with your email address and get a free piece. So you participate. So it's a free contest, right? It's not gambling. Mm. This is important because my brother back in the day figured out that you could sign up, type in your email, and then you go like, yeah, I want to play. And then you get your piece right away and see if you want a thing or not, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you see the piece, you see it, the result, before it even sends the email out, right?
Yeah.
So there was a site that let you create large amounts of accounts for like a thing.thing.thing email address. Mm-hmm. And so it would be like, make a thing, send it out, see if you win. And then go make the address afterwards to catch the ball that's already in midair.
Nice.
Right? And he did that.
That's not gambling, huh?
And
not
he did
a scam.
And either. he did that, and like besides a couple trios, eventually a CD player was won.
It's totally worth it.
And that's the height of how
just
far it got.
Eating your trio while listening to your cool music on your CD player.
That's how far it got.
That's the fucking dream right there.
And it was and because it's a contest that's free entry, it was like yeah, anyone can play for free as much as they want to. You know, and like you just the whole thing with going in and getting a piece with your fries or your burger or whatever was just like a gimmick that was the easiest way to get it, you know? And then they bring that up in the fucking thing to explain. So I'm like, this is so nuts how it weaves into a lot of my life. But it's also just an amazing story. That is
a movie out of it for sure.
Yeah.
Making a murderer.
Like, there's deaths.
There is death.
There are deaths in the story.
Does this open McDonald's up for a class action lawsuit?
There already was.
Oh, yeah?
And a lot of this shit happened and people pooled together. Dude, the whole thing even kicks off because the guy who Uncle Jerry, the
ringleader.
The ringleader ex-cop that became a mobster, watched when they seeded the results to like in a random thing to go, here's where all the $1 million prizes and all the high level prizes are going to go in the country or rather across all their stores. And they saw that the fucking $1 million prize for the first one went to Canada. And they officially, the corporation that was working with McDonald's said, redo it. We don't want Canada getting that high prize. And he went, oh, what? And he's like, oh, you're just going to fuck over Canada? And they just, for the reasons that an American needs to be the first winner, they changed it again. And so when he saw that, he was like, oh, fuck this.
I can just do whatever I want.
And furthermore, if they ever say anything, I got this on them. And that was what set it off. That's why there were no fucking winners in Canada.
That's crazy.
It's nuts, dude. There's fortune tellers involved, fucking
nice.
And Yaba shows up, you know, like it's so crazy how far the fucking rabbit hole goes.
That's awful.
And these are all just bullet points in this thing that keeps going. So yeah, man, read this story. It is
great. Why does
great.
McDonald's hate Canada? We're good to you.
It has nothing because an American needs to be the first winner.
Yeah.
Always needs to be an American girl.
It's the fucking, it's nuts, dude. Anyway.
Does this mean if I go to Price is Right, like is my dream, they'll all win the car and they'll be like, no car for you, Canuck. I'd be sad.
No, because those prizes are worthless to them.
Yeah.
But $1 million is not worthless to them.
$1 million is not worthless to anybody.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's crazy. I was thinking, none of this merely makes sense. Like, how could you? And it's like, yeah, I have this on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the linchpin.
And one of the best things is you can go back to the evidence, and some of them are like when they present the winners, all the winners in the filmed commercials that you saw over the years were all fucking scams in on the racket.
Jerry
and
Columbo.
One of the first ones, Jerry Columbo, a.k.a. the leader of the Columbo crime family, was basically literally Tony Soprano in real life.
Columbo fucking figures out crimes. He doesn't do them.
And he won a Dodge Viper, which
what?
He couldn't. But he couldn't sit in it because he was too fat. Because he's a fat old gangster. So he just traded it in for the money, but he did agree to go on TV and shake a car key. So you see this picture of a fat ass Tony Soprano, literal mobster boss, winning. It's then you can go back and watch all the evidence, see all the criminals, and to get more of them, all they had to do was, guys, we're filming another commercial.
Yeah.
And they just got them all. Dude, it's amazing. I love this story so much. All right. Let's get into the mail.
If you have mail, let us know about your big McDonald's scams at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
And your scam.
I
want to
hear about
like
you
this.
Scamming McDonald's, not McDonald's scamming nice people.
Your scam might sound a little something like this. They're super straight bears. There's many awesome characters who wear scarves, which make the... Blah. Let's try that again. There are many awesome characters who wear scarves, which makes their visual... Okay, this person just uses the wrong there. I'm sorry.
There should be quotation.
Threw me the fuck off.
Just read it.
Which uses... which has a visual and physical design that it makes it look even better. Strider, Joseph Joestar, Virgil, Beetlejuice, etc. Always begin to think that the scarf is also a huge choking hazard. Like, someone could grab a hold of it.
Totally.
And it could get
just
caught
like
on something.
The Incredibles thing. If you have a
no
long
capes.
Piece of fucking fabric, you're putting a
such as
on
why
your
the Incredibles brings this up, where everyone with one just dies.
It's also in Watchmen.
What's a design feature that you find is actually dangerous or impractical?
Elbow knives. Elbow knives are just asking to accidentally stab anyone standing near you.
And there's like, you think of Batman, but there's lots of other like more C-tier like video game designs. Like I would say, like, you know, people from the Darkness or Dark Sector. Everyone's got like little edgy things on their elbows, and it's like, you can just shred your sides up, mate.
I find that like masks that cover your nose and mouth both a lot of the time are usually almost impossible to wear for more than half an hour. Like, if you're wearing them for more than half an hour and you don't have breathing holes, it's just going to get gross in there. Mm. And you're going to have a hard time breathing. Like, think about when you're wearing a ski mask, and even then, it's got holes cut out, and it's still kind of gross. Yeah. Like, a full cover face mask when you cosplay or whatever, you can't breathe after half an hour.
Yeah, and you're doing all this physical activity, and that's a good one. Those are both good.
P.S., would you like to have a suits and ties meetup at Vegas during EVO weekend? That's a bit much, dude. I think I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks, David.
Elbow blades are stupid, but they're cool.
Yeah, they are.
We got one coming in.
The best place I can put these blades is on my elbows, not like on my knuckles.
That's what Xeon the Unborn thought.
Yes. But those are so long that they go over his head, so he's like unlikely to stab himself.
Yeah, they're
maybe
crazy.
I don't know.
Dear Scream Lords, one time in high school, one of my friends sat in the back of our class away from most prying eyes. Mm-hmm. One day he was out of the room, and I chanced to look at his notebook, and I noticed that he was drawing fond, erotic sketches of Pikachu and other Pokemon.
That's right.
I was shocked, but I could never work up the courage to tell him that I discovered his horrible secret, except for this letter. plan to take it to my grave.
And yet...
Have you ever seen a friend or family member that had no some sort of secret of theirs or something like that without them knowing that you knew? This is stupid. Thanks, guys.
Not without them knowing. Usually I just I look at somebody and go, hey, what's up with that shit? And they go, and then they tell me and I'm like, gross. That's gross.
The only thing that comes to mind is it's not even remotely like on that level, but I always used to draw Spider-Man fighting Venom on my Duotangs and stuff back as a kid. And
are you sure?
Yes.
So fighting.
Yeah. Because we used to trace our Marvel cards, and then eventually after tracing them long enough, we learned how to draw the characters.
Yeah. That's how the masters usually do it.
That's exactly how you learn to do it, exactly.
Jack Kirby.
So I would draw them fighting, and I'd specifically draw the Todd McFarlane style, right, with poses and whatever.
There was no other style.
And
anyway.
I drew, and I remember I'd always draw my Venom in the same way, because the Venom that I originally learned to draw was off of like DeVries and some other artists that had the really long jaw.
Yeah.
Right? So the jaw was always really wide open.
Like the Violator looking one?
And the tongue, exactly.
Eric Larson did that a lot.
Yep. Him as well. So I would always draw that Venom, and that was on a lot of my shit, right? And I remember specifically one time walking by my friend John's desk, and I saw him on his little like paper drawing the same type of things that I was doing, but way worse. And I remember, I'll never forget, because I saw the whole Spider-Man fighting Venom thing, but it was way more 2D and flat. And like, this is like grade.
You didn't have all the shading that you put.
Yeah, this is like grade 3 or 4, right?
This is a Willy original piece, and he's making bad knockoffs.
But the thing that like I remember always laughing at, because I looked at it, I was like, oh, dude, what are you drawing over there? And he's like, nothing, right? But I remember because I saw his Venom, and he did the jaw thing, but he also made the top lip stick out too, so it just looked like a duck from Duck Game, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
You know how Venom has the underbite that drags out?
It's always an underbite.
But he did the top lip sticking out too.
That's stupid.
So it was an ugly duck face. And I was like, I saw that and it was hilarious because I'm like, oh, you're trying to draw my Venom, but you fucked up. And I was like, oh, dude, what's that? And he's like, nothing. And he got super embarrassed by it because he was like trying to draw my shit, which I drew other people's shit, but he couldn't do it properly.
So actually really similar to this, I would be drawing superheroes all the time. And I have like little the pictures put in the plastics in a binder. And I flip through them and people would come over like, oh, you draw stuff. I'm like, I try. And some people would ask like, hey, can you draw me this? Can you draw me that? I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a go. And then one guy was like, can you draw me Rogue? And I go, yeah, sure. And then as I'm drawing, it's like during lunch period, I hear him under his breath go, can you draw me one that's naked? And I went, what? And he goes, nothing. And I don't know what he was going for. Like, was he psyching himself up and like repeating?
It was really low, really low.
Was he trying to do really low so no one would overhear, but he had hoped I would hear and would say yes. Yeah. So when I said what, he instantly like Mega Man X, warning. Like, back off now. You might look like a weirdo.
But you,
I drew those for myself.
I was gonna say you drew some sexy shit. So the thought process of friends must have been like, oh,
I can draw a little black dot that can represent a nipple, no problem.
There you go.
You know? But yeah. No.
Back in the days on the Mugen boards, there was a secret thread corner where people would take sprite files from Mugen characters and edit them to just put some more pink in there. And that was literally, that was the thing. People had their stuff. Nothing?
Nah, man.
We got
never
one.
Caught nobody.
Toonie D says, Dear Soup, what would you say is your favorite tagline from a game, either an ad or on the box?
Gotta kill it.
There you go. For example,
Quantum Theory, gotta kill it. Quantum Theory?
Yep.
Okay. Quantum Theory, gotta kill it.
For example, my personal favorite is No Crying Until the End in the commercials for Mother 3.
Yeah. Oh, wait. That fighting wrestling game that we played that said you never ever beat me.
For me, it's two games from the PS1 era. It's Resident Evil 2's If the Suspense Doesn't Kill You, Something Else Will
is really good. Yeah,
and Xenogears is on the back of the box in big caps to Stand Tall and Shake the Heavens, which is
it's not a lot more
about the plot than I thought it was.
They're cute, but they're no gotta kill it.
Yeah, they're not. You're right.
It's not a game. It's a movie. But do you remember Predator 2? The tagline for Predator 2.
He's in town for a few days with a few days to kill.
He's in town with a few days to kill. Yeah. It's fucking great. Yeah. That's one of the best of all time. Yeah.
He's in town with a few days to kill. So.
Strong.
And obviously featuring Dante from the Devil May Cry series.
I mean, that's not a tagline.
It sure is. It's right on the box.
Yeah, but it's not the thing.
No, it's not the thing. They're super worst self-promoters.
Yo, what up?
Lewis says, I've been catching up on recent weeks of the podcast. Matt mentioned the Sweet Babies logo. I suddenly remembered you guys had a merch store. And if that thing exists, I always intended to buy some shit. Alas, the Shitstorm poster is no longer listed, as well as the Sweet Baby's Wear. And you guys have pins? What the fuck? When did that happen? Liam's even on them. So
years
it was more than
ago.
18 months ago. Have I completely missed it? I know you guys aren't the type to have the
we
whole...
We made a bunch of show videos.
I know you guys aren't the type to have the like, comment, subscribe, bell, Patreon reminder at the end, but maybe you want to rep the store a little bit more than none at all.
Well,
and I'll be able
we
to...
fucking made a bunch of videos!
We haven't put anything new on the store in a while, which is why.
A lot of new people have found this in the last year or two
Never been around. We should talk about actually making new merch because we haven't done it in like a year.
I'll be able to give you some dollary dues in a more timely manner. So yeah, that's all. It's just a hey, don't not do it at all. And it's like, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
We also upset.
There's a lot of new people.
Cases full of money.
A lot of new people that only found us.
Remember there was like maybe a good solid 6 months where we actually did put the like
on the trailer at the end. Yeah,
a little clip.
Yeah.
Of those trailers at the end of every LP.
Yeah, that's buy our shirts and then so on.
There's me not being able to reach a Red Bull because I'm too short.
There's that one too.
Us as fashionistas.
Yeah.
Oh, and this one's just hilarious. Joe says, "Hey, there's a game on Steam called Bitcoin Miner that changed its fucking name to Team Fortress 2 about 16 hours ago, which is apparently a thing you can do."
Yeah.
The record is here. Valve has responded by requiring approval for name changes, and also instituting a pop-up whenever anyone tries to buy, sell an item for a game they've never owned. So that's something. Apparently, up until this point, you could just make a name change, whatever the fuck you want.
I vividly remember a bunch of games doing that to get away from their bad reviews.
So there was a period of time.
Literally run away.
Just, yeah. That's my name.
The game would drop. And it would get like universally negative reviews, and then they would change the name. And part of that process would be that it would invalidate the review system, making it clean.
Like it's just one of those things where I'm like, how would and why would someone that goes through all the trouble of getting their shit up there even? But then are you
because they're a scammer?
Well, it's the thing you have to back up and go. Wait, people kill people.
Scams
like.
Thievery.
People kill people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Could kill somebody right now given proper motivation.
Who cares? Like, I don't know if I've explained that on the podcast before, but it's just a thing where, like, anytime something that makes zero sense to me happens, you gotta go, stop, wait, people kill people, this means nothing, of course someone would be this dumb.
Wait, did,
anything less than that is like, of course, why wouldn't it happen? Anyway,
people are bad sometimes.
We should have a shirt that's just our new team name, the Montreal Screwjobs.
Montreal Screwjobs.
So fucking strong.
It is, but no one would know it was us.
Who cares? That makes it a better shirt.
Yeah, I guess so.
No one knows that I Am the Hype is specifically...
You're correct.
It's not dragged down by our horrible brand.
Exactly.
You are correct. Coming up and coming out.
Hey, what up?
We are going to record right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Well, I'm gonna eat something.
Yeah, me too.
That's cool.
We're gonna
wait here and stare at the wall.
That's
until
good.
You come
That's
back.
A good plan.
I don't mind that. We're gonna record some more Detroit literally right now. We've got some fisticuffs coming up as usual. And
Everything continues. What's coming up on?
I want to say that Tokyo Mirage.
It's getting there.
Is about. I think we have like.
No,
I think,
we have one more session for sure.
You guys.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. You guys are gonna beat KOTOR?
I think we can do it. I think we can beat it next session.
It depends on. Yeah, it depends if we can. It's gonna be under 100 for sure.
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Everything's under 100.
Absolutely.
Except for KOTOR. Wait, no, KOTOR was like 99.
We made. Fucking sure that shit was 99.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, when I was here early a little bit the other day, I just went and did some cleanup in on the save file.
Yeah.
There's some new features that just unlocked in the fucking game.
No way.
There's literally new features.
Alright, tell me later.
Yeah. You'll see them on camera.
Yeah, like, so Detroit continues.
Seconds left on the shot clock, and the game is giving me tutorials. I swear to God.
Detroit continue, TMS continue, RE5 continue. RE5 is a lot shorter than I remember.
Yeah.
The session we played yesterday.
And we're terrible at it.
We got, like, into the last third of the game, kind of surprisingly to me. I thought those middle parts were a lot longer.
Man, the start, like, the first 2 hours is like, oh my gosh, it's so good. And then it unfortunately just kind of slogs down into a couple of badly paced sections that hurt it.
It's the issue that all those games had where it's like because they're all built up by levels. Like there's the village, then there's this. Some of those levels shine and some don't. In RE4, all of them shine with the island shining a little less.
Yeah, in
RE5, the first and dead last sections are really good, but that middle part where you're fighting the stick tossers.
Will you be amazed? Very scary. At, like, if you remember how many sections of the game is this, you're just on a turret, or you're fighting a boss with a turret.
You
or
fight
you're
in two a chase turret bosses back to back.
Back.
Yeah, there's a lot of a blur in the beginning of that game, and then there's the Maginis, and then after that, there's more blur, and then there's the Wesker flashback, and then the Jill reveal, and then I forget, and then there's the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh yeah, volcano. Oh, I forgot about the boat. There's the boat we have to do.
Oh, yeah. Right. Thought we did already. But nah, you mean a bigger boat?
No, I mean the bigger boat, the one that looks the one from RE7,
the large boat, right?
And what about on the solo jobs?
What about
on
solo jobs?
That's weird.
I don't like that.
Solo job.
You want to watch a solo job?
Also, the solo jobs are often not solo. There's a lot that, like, Reggie and Liam are on your channel, and Matt, you show up with Leanna, and I got Pedro. Like, they're not all solo.
No, but they're still solo jobs.
Sometimes there's more than one person.
Don't knock a good solo job.
Yeah, you never know.
Sometimes there's any.
People can watch solo jobs.
Yeah, what's going on?
It almost stops being a solo job if someone watches.
Is that how that works?
Almost.
No. The performing act has to be
It's a solo job, and then you click a button, and now it's a group act.
I don't think
that's
the case.
It's not a group act.
I don't think. Wait, that would make nothing.
We're involved.
That would make nothing any of us ever do ever a solo job.
A stream.
If no one's home.
A stream.
It's a solo job to me.
A stream where people can react in real time.
Yeah.
Then it's
so
not
as
a solo
long as
job.
One person's watching the stream.
If I'm alone and the windows are closed and I'm playing my game, that's a solo ass job.
So on the Matt and Muscles Flop House, I have a new show coming up on Friday that I recorded with Super Wrong Eyepatch Wolf, Bad Opinion Man.
Yeah.
Called Mumbling with Matt.
That's good.
Mumbling with Matt, which is basically a 2-hour video podcast. And our subject, one singular subject, is the state of wrestling video games. Why are we here in this new ghetto?
Why is a better question than how?
The state of it.
So him and I discuss, like, kind of the genesis of wrestling games and, like, how did we get here? And just as a really, really light thing, it's like we got here because in the PS2, Xbox, GameCube era, the GameCube got its own wrestling games, Day of Reckoning and such. They were not huge successes. The Xbox got Raw 1 and 2. They were miserable failures. But the PlayStation sticked with the strong brand, which is the SmackDown games, and turned to SmackDown versus Raw. They then became the de facto line, and every other series got ports of that line. So that was just our straight line. Like, that was the winner of all three, and now we're stuck here forever.
It's like
we're
bananas.
Never leaving.
Hmm.
Yes.
There used to be more than one type of banana.
Yes, and there are lots of different flavors.
Yes, but now there is the one banana, and if something happens to make that banana bad,
yeah,
we have bad bananas forever.
And this banana comes out every year, but
they all got wiped
tastes
out.
Shitty.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was very interesting. That's coming out on Friday. And, you know, I'll probably have these, like, maybe one every 1 or 2 months, probably 2 months, where I have a different guest and, like, a different, like, one subject. So the Godzilla anime movies with Jeff from Mother's Basement, or, like, Predator shit. We'll see. So
with the Predator.
Yeah. And Mom, Thomas, helped me put together a fantastic Puzzle League retrospective. So that's encompassing Palpatine and Tetris Attack, because I love those games. So that went really well. And that'll
Midios is
be
part of that,
up.
Is it?
No.
Nah, okay.
No. Like, I didn't know that there was a panel upon hidden sequel, like a full 3D sequel that took place in another time period that only released in Japan on a double pack with Mario Tetris. Dr. Mario.
I always love these games that only get released in this nonsense format.
Wooly, Planet Puzzle League
mm-hmm.
on the DS.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens in the Japanese version?
Mm-hmm.
It's still Planet Puzzle League,
mm-hmm.
but it has a hidden unlockable skin to make it look like Tetris Attack.
Instead of Pokemon. Right.
Planet Puzzle League was one that's just geometric shapes and whatever, and no characters. So it makes it look like
the old blocks.
Yeah, it makes it look like the old blocks, but it's not Yoshi. It's the paneled upon girl, like the little fairy girl. But it's the same thing. It's only in the Japanese version.
Damn.
Fuck them. Fuck them. Anyway, that's all coming up.
What's going on, Woolly Versus, man?
Well, you know, Nier is going to continue, but I, of course, can't do a new session until I get a chance to.
Until you're actually in the physical location to record it.
That's correct. So, in the milieu, you know, it's going to continue with its fucking playthrough B. Naruto, same thing. It's, you know, gonna pick that recording back up probably when I get back next week. And
hey, when you finish off playthrough B and start playthrough C
of Naruto,
yeah, let me know. I want to talk to you about a thing.
Sure. And then hey, like, it's fucking some cool shit's happening. They're releasing 4 Kirby figures that have different faces based on the different sprites. That's good shit. We got a Kirby fucking novel coming.
Shut up.
That's good shit. We got content released straight to my channel from Nintendo officially, as I eventually need to, you know.
Here you go, Mr. Versus.
Yep, we'll get around to it. We got time.
Can, like, get a bunch of Kirby figures, do, like, Kirby Playhouse Theater, just make them shake and do your voice?
I mean, you could. I bought one of those light-up little glowing, like, neon sign Kirby things this weekend. Now I got one of those in my place, so it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I like this new Libas as...
is such a big success.
An outed Kirby fanatic. I'm enjoying the wholesomeness. It's a good time. So yeah, more Kirby lore is going to come when I get a chance. You know, that's how that's going. It's a rebranding that's happening. How many years like later now? But
40?
It's weird. It's weird.
Even though it's JoJo, you're wearing a pink shirt and have pink Kirby earmuffs on.
I mean, like, from day one, I've said Superstar is my favorite video game, but there's just been never any elaboration.
Huge portions of your life on Kirby Superstar. This is known. You love that Kirby.
You know what? When you're right, you're right. So, I don't mind it.
You know, in hindsight, it's kind of shocking you didn't turn into it more
earlier. Yeah.
Like, you know, never.
I don't know where that was going, but I don't like
it. It was going like, it's kind of shocking like that you would turn down the opportunity to do Kirby videos.
Nah. Hey, can we, like, go box some YouTubers and make a lot of money?
Box them?
Yeah.
Who we boxing?
Like, YouTubers that are really famous, like, that I've really never heard of. Weaker
than us, though, physically? I'm only boxing somebody that I can easily ruin. And I'm tiny.
Apparently, that's a huge payout.
Yeah.
Huge big cross promotion.
Well, I'll box Matt. Matt, you want
British YouTubers
fight?
You've never heard of.
British people?
British YouTubers you've never heard of for big money.
British people love to hit each other in the face.
Is this a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing, and I guess if you haven't heard of it, then the joke is a flop.
Oh, no! I'll be since y'all are in Evo Town, Vegas, over the next couple days, I don't have much to do, so I'll be streaming over at Angriest Pat on Twitch some bullshit. I'll be streaming, you know, probably Gungeon, maybe Dark Souls. Depending on if and when Capcom gets back to me about something, I'll stream something from them.
Nice.
But that's be careful here. Are you not supposed to say something?
Well, I don't have the code yet.
So then don't say it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't have the code yet, so I'm not going to put myself in.
Speaking of Evo, if people want to have a 100% shot of seeing you and me, I believe we're both going to Max's panel.
Yeah, we'll probably be
Saturday
there.
Saturday at 4.
Try not to rudely fucking,
escape from Crossing Fate.
No. But at the...
We will be hanging around.
Feel great to, you know, cannibalize someone else.
I told
them
about this, and he's like, it's fine.
It feels really shitty to do.
We still did. They asked us to do it last year.
You know what I mean.
I know. It's fine. But yeah. we'll be in the audience, and maybe we'll take autographs or take pictures or fun stuff like that afterwards.
Definitely say hi to some folks. Yes. Just if I may, please, guys.
Yes.
Not when I'm sitting down at my pools.
Right. I forgot.
Okay. That's all I ask. If I'm sitting down to play. And I'm fucking...
What are you actually playing?
I'm playing Guilty Gear, Tekken, Dragon Ball, and Street Fighter.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And I'm seeing if I can rack up an 0-2 collection, because I haven't been playing anything. Because as you can see, lots of Kirby, lots of Nier, lots of cons, yeah, lots of stuff equals what
equals
fighting games?
Equals shitty fighting games.
Equals what fighting games? So I'm just going to get exposed, but I'm going to try.
What you're trying to do is you're trying to spread it thin so that maybe you'll end up against some real losers in at least a couple of those.
I mean, get
a one in one.
What's a Zamazu? How does that work? You know?
Zamazu?
Yeah.
Is that a
new characters have
oh,
showed
that's
up.
The Goku.
The new characters showing up in these games, I don't even know how to fight them. Oh, so man. It's a mess. Cool, but cool. You know,
how many Goku's. Hey, can we talk for like 10 seconds about how many fucking Goku's does Dragon Ball need? That's too many Goku's.
It needs all of the Goku. It needs Super Saiyan 4 Goku.
I want to see that. HD Mex did a little count up and I think he got to 8.23.
There's a lot of Goku's, and that's too many Goku's.
But that's a lot of Duncan for a 16.
We need two Gokus.
That's a lot of 16 dunks.
Need baby Goku from GT as well.
Fuck baby Goku.
Professor 16.
Goku.
Professor
Goku. Goku's my go-to.
Professor 16 getting really excited at that. Oh, someone made some cool video of like an RPG based on Dragon Ball FighterZ. I retweeted it. Check it out.
That's cool. We got to go.
We got to go.
We have to go.
Bye.
Bye.